to cover up for not having a plan. Gosh, I wish there was some music under this. Ah, there it is. Everything is going extremely well. Donald Trump has a plan. It's to kid on that he has a plan to cover up for not having a plan. He's just making this stuff up as he goes along, and if World War III breaks out, he has a comfortable nuclear fallout shelter, the biggest fallout shelter. Nobody ever saw such a huge fallout shelter, believe me. Melania doesn't have a key, but if she did, would she use it? Can you imagine being locked up in a cellar with him for the rest of your life? In other news, we get the overview from space, and MPs ask, are you dancing?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. President Trump has taken a swipe at Sir Keir Starmer online, saying the US doesn't need people that join wars we've already won. He's been writing, following reports the UK was thinking about sending extra resources to the Middle East. LBC's Washington correspondent is Simon Marks.
Just hours after dining at Mar-a-Lago with Reform UK leader Nigel Farage, President Trump has fired off another broadside at the Prime Minister. He calls the UK once America's great ally, says he is aware that Sir Keir Starmer is considering deploying two Royal Navy aircraft carriers to the Gulf, but accuses the Prime Minister of seeking to join wars after we've already won. He says the carriers are not needed in what is a fresh assault on the UK's sovereign right to make its own defence decisions. Simon Marks, LBC, Washington.
Saudi Arabia has told Iran continuing attacks on its kingdom and energy sector could provoke a response from Riyadh. According to four different sources, the message was sent before a speech from the Iranian president. He then went on to apologize to neighboring states for recent attacks since the US and Israel began their raids. The professor of Iranian history, Ali Ansari, has been telling LBC a degree of chaos may be developing in Tehran.
On two occasions now, you've had people sort of apologizing for these attacks, and then the attacks happen again. Yeah. So it's not entirely clear, you know, what's going on in terms of the command and control in the country. And it also indicates, or, you know, it's beginning to reveal these cracks in the hierarchy and the command structure, certainly the political command structure.
The United States Embassy in Baghdad has been targeted by rockets. The attack is the first time the building in the Iraqi capital has been singled out for more than 2 years. Canada's Prime Minister has condemned reports of gunfire at two synagogues in Toronto. Mark Carney has called them criminal anti-Semitic assaults. No injuries have been reported and police are continuing to investigate. And the King is due to tell the Commonwealth its member states can ensure the organisation remains a force for good by working together. His comments will be included in a message to mark Commonwealth Day, which is on Monday. LBC weather, cloudy and damp across England and Wales with outbreaks of patchy rain overnight. Clearer skies for much of Northern Ireland and Scotland for most of the night, a low of around 3 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Everything is going extremely well.
Well, let's get back to it.
So, Grimer Wormtongue was whispering in his ear, and then he sent this. The United Kingdom, our once great ally, maybe the greatest of them all. He writes like he speaks. Maybe the greatest of them all is finally giving serious thought to sending two aircraft carriers to the Middle East. That's okay, Prime Minister Starmer. We don't need them any longer, but we will remember. We don't need people that join wars after we've already won. President Donald J. Trump, all in capital letters like he's shouting at us. That's like saying that America joined World War II after we had already won. Somebody should snatch that phone from Blob the Builder's hand. I mean, they haven't already won the war by his own measure. He said the war will not end till Iran surrenders. Total capitulation, he said. Has Iran totally capitulated?
No.
No, so they haven't won yet, have they? The abominable Doughman is wrong again. And we should remember. And the people of Europe should band together and cut this chump and his cavalcade of clowns out of our lives. He's not stable. We can't rely on him. We have to get closer to Europe. There's grown-ups running countries there. Can you believe that?
No.
Yeah. Messages from yesterday. One moment, please. They're already coming in thick and fast. Mostly thick. Dave in Poole says, what's the betting the Orange Man baby hikes tariffs on us before the weekend is out? Fag Ash will whisper traitorous poison in the Donald's ear while visiting him in Florida. He should be arrested when he returns and thrown into the tower. I think we can all agree on that. Tom in Southsea says, Nick, I reckon the dumb old flump meant to call Epic Fury Epic Fuhrer. Stephen Dorset says, is there some irony that most of the members of the newly formed Board of Peace are at war now? Yeah. President Trump has privately expressed serious interest in deploying U.S. soldiers to Iran. The president for life of the Board of Peace got bored of peace, so now he's doing war.
I'm very interested in people I don't know going into a war. Anything to stop people talking about that person that I never met and I don't know anything about.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't go myself. I've got sore ankles, and all the rich people I know have sore ankles. It's very sad, so poor people are going to have to go, and that's okay because I don't know any of those.
Trump told the White House advisers that he will need troops on the ground to complete his vision for a post-war Iran. He has a vision. Or he plans to have an outline of a vision. Not so much a vision as a dream, a beautiful dream with hot girls and no wife. He's cut you out of his dream, Malaria.
I don't care.
She's not that bothered. The plan for Iran or Iraq or wherever it is to run it like a Trump Sands casino and spa with a nice side deal for all that oil. You know, like Venezuela. And I don't want to upset anybody in a place that is already under attack, but Venezuela has the world's largest oil reserves, and he attacked them. And Iran has the third largest oil reserves in the world, and he attacked them. And guess who's in the middle? Saudi Arabia. He's got his eye on you, Sultan.
We'll call it Saudi Trump-rabia.
U.S. officials who were not named for fear of being lashed said that Trump is not focusing on a full-scale invasion of Iran, but said he would want a small contingent of troops to deploy for strategic purposes, by which he means for television purposes. He wants things that go bang on TV, and he wants macho men doing macho things while he puts on his makeup and sprays his hairpiece to the music of the village people.
I don't wear a toupee.
Trump is said to be emboldened by the speed and efficiency of his operation in Venezuela in January, which saw U.S. forces capture President Nicolas Maduro and take control of his oil reserves.
So we're doing stealing now. Totally legal.
Nobody even talks about that anymore. He bombed people off the coast of a country, and then he invaded that country. He captured its leader, kidnapped him, took him out of the country by blindfold, and stole the nation's oil. And nobody even talks about that anymore. I bet you'd forgotten. And now idiot Amin says he must be involved in picking the late Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei's replacement, because that's how things are done through the looking glass. What is malice talking about? The White House denied that Trump was planning on sending U.S. soldiers to Iran, with Press Secretary Caroline Levitt said the report is, quotes, based on assumptions from anonymous sources who are not part of the president's national security team and are clearly not read into these discussions. Yeah, that's right. Because people who are part of the president's national security team are chugging brewskis and challenging each other to push-up contests. Caroline Levitt said, President Trump always wisely keeps his options open. Yeah, always, wisely. Wisely doesn't have any idea of what he's doing and is just making this up on the hoof. Throwing everything at the problem. Which is how you stop people talking about you-know-who.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
It comes as hostilities in the Middle East threatened to spiral out of control on Friday, as planned. And Iran launched a barrage of missiles and drone strikes on its Gulf neighbors, and then weirdly apologized for doing that. They threw rockets around like food at a children's birthday party, and then apologized for bombing those countries they'd hit.
And just when you thought it couldn't get any stranger, bomb goes bang, and they said,
"I am very sorry that I screwed up. Totally screwed. I mean, I am so sorry. You just don't know how sorry I am. I'm sorry."
In Persian. And despite the White House's denials, Trump publicly flirted with deploying U.S. troops to Iran, saying to the New York Post this week, "I don't have the yips with respect to boots on the ground.
I'm very strongly un-yippy. No yips on me. I'm yip-free."
"Yippy, no way, Brother Funster," as Bruce Willis almost said. The president has struggled to maintain support among his conservative base since launching strikes a week ago, with many supporters reacting with fury at the reports he was considering deploying soldiers, probably because they thought it might be their soldiers. While the White House attempted to shut down reports that soldiers could be deployed, Trump made no indications that he's looking to scale back the conflict. They're all over the shop. Does anybody have a plan? And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me. I don't give a damn. The next to stop is Tehran.
Rock and roll!
And now Trump's going on about how huge and impressive he is, and that the 3,000-plus missiles he's thrown in there in the past 7 days is just the start. And he said he was preparing a mega attack that he dubbed the Big One.
"It's going to be very big and hugely enormous and great and vast and massive and monumental, frankly. That's what people are saying. Very important people come to me. They say, 'Sir, nothing is more immense.' I say, 'Thank you. It's so true.'"
0345-6060-973. I have some good news. Some positive news. And there's not much of that about. So I'll get to that in a while, once we wade through all of this. Dickie in Anglesey says, "Have you seen the forecasts on fertilisers? 50% is made in the Middle East. Supplies and prices are already rocketing faster than oil. Food price rises and shortages incoming."
Oh, no.
Not shortages of food.
I like food.
Martin in Epping, it says, "It sounds like Mr. Trump has been watching the Team America film." Yes.
America!
Yeah. Can't play that. Tony says, these are last night's tweets. "Do you think that Trump invaded Iran to ensure that he retains the FIFA peace promise?" "Do you think that Trumpet, he says, invaded Iran to ensure that he retains the FIFA Peace Prize in 2026? Well, you've always got to, it's much easier to win it in the first place than to subsequently keep it. That's just a fact. Pete says, "Here's one for your bingo card. When this is all over, hair peace." That's even better when you see it written down. A hair as in H-E-R-R and H-E-I-R and peace written both ways.
"I don't wear a toupee."
Where this is all over, hair peace. Hair peace will send the rest of the world the bill and threaten trade embargoes and withdraw from NATO if we don't pay. Yeah, well, I wouldn't be remotely surprised. I bet he's totting up the bill for what he's spent on this mess so far.
$8,737,540,000.
0345-6060-973. You can text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone, 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
This is LBC.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer. We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe and improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
With an Amex business card, Selena's earning points renovating her skin clinic and refreshing the builders.
14 coffees and 28 sugars, please.
And on new adjustable chairs for every room. And she can use the points to lie back and relax.
Don't put ice cream on your brother's head.
Well, Sometimes. And that's because with an Amex business card, your points can go towards holidays and more.
Search Amex business card. Interest, fees and terms apply. Available to UK limited companies and limited liability partnerships. Signatories must be a director or member of the business. Subject to...
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
What in blazes goes on inside that head of yours?
You know, usual. Damien says, I'm watching The Sopranos for the first time and I love it.
Absolutely.
It definitely has a black comedy vibe to it. Some homework for you. Knights of the Seven Kingdoms is fantastic. It's a Game of Thrones spin-off. You will be a satisfied customer, I'm sure of it, says Damien. And on that subject of great TV to watch, Catherine in Winchester says, the series Mad Men is worth watching. Not as good as The Sopranos, but worth watching. Also the first series on Yellowstone, of Yellowstone, maybe. Yeah, I looked at Mad Men, but I thought, if I watch these people smoking like this for any period of time, I'm going to get lung cancer just looking at them. Way too much smoking. I just couldn't. I could not live with that in my front room. Couldn't. Let's see now. Zumrazet, hello, John.
Hello, Nick, how are you?
I am great, mate.
Good. Excellent. You sound absolutely fantastic.
Like science fiction, you mean?
Yes, almost like 2001 plus 25 years.
Like one of the...
The little people.
Not leprechauns, yeah.
Yeah, aliens. Mm. We're surrounded by aliens.
Yeah, get on with it.
funny enough, because you've mentioned that, I wasn't going to talk about it, but David Icke, you know, he talks about lizard people and all that type of thing.
Yeah.
And he also talks, you know, over the 30 years ago, he was talking about elites running the whole world and rich people and drinking the blood of, I don't know, miners and this, that and the other. Mm. And people were laughing at him. And now it looks, I've even heard, like, legitimate journalists, even on LBC,
yeah,
say that now they think that maybe David Icke was right.
Well, I've got, I hear your David Icke was right, and I'd raise you one. Maybe Yuri Spoonbender was right.
Yuri Keller?
Yeah.
Maybe. What did he have to say about any of this?
A lot. And this was about a year ago. I've been pulling this story around for about a year, and I was going to ridicule it initially, but come to find out, well, he may be completely correct in every respect, and I'll come to that in a minute.
I really like Yuri Geller. I want my spoons back.
You can't let that man in your house. He'll break your clocks, your watch, everything will, your TV will go on the fritz, everything will get bust.
It'll go on the fritz. That is an expression meaning everything breaks, isn't it?
Yeah. He must get through so much money. I mean, he probably has to buy a new watch every day.
Yeah, he's got a car that's covered in bent spoons. Did you know that?
I've seen that, yeah.
You've seen that. Anyway, here's the thing, though. The other thing about David Icke, apart from... sorry, I'm losing my thread now. Apart from... He also said that the royal family were, you know, involved in all kinds of horrible stuff and this, that, yeah. So we might have to revise our opinion of these sort of so-called conspiracy nuts.
Conspiracy theories, yeah. Maybe they're all right. I mean, not all right, but maybe they're all correct.
Maybe we're just going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah. Okay. Enough of the quotes. Thanks a lot, John. Got to go. 0345 6060973. Spencer says, all those tax-dodging parasites who legged it to Dubai are now relying on us, the poor dopes who pay taxes, to bring them home using the taxes that they left the UK to avoid paying. What a way to run a country, eh?
Dreadful.
Yeah. Absolutely. Here's a shocker. This is in the Mail. Forget the fearless people of Iraq. This is Sarah Vine. Forget the fearless people of Iran struggling to reclaim their country after nearly 50 years of violent oppression. The people we should really be focusing on are the 240,000 or so pampered expat Brits living in Dubai, caught up in the conflict and under fire from missiles and drone strikes, having fled rainy old Blighty in search of sun, sea and sand and a selfishly tax-free existence. Many now appear to want rescuing courtesy of, you guessed it, the good old British taxpayer. Let's face it, they're not exactly desperate refugees, are they? Their numbers include the debatable Andrew Tate, who has a base in one of the city's exclusive neighbourhoods from where he broadcasts his bombastic credo to his armies of loser wannabes. What does she mean by debatable? What's debatable about Andrew Tate? Then there are the vast numbers of Z-listers like Arabella Chi. No idea. Former Love Island contestant and self-styled lifestyle guru who said her recent experiences were the most scared I've ever been in my entire life while insisting that she felt safer there than in the UK. Right. Likewise, Katie McDermott, another scantily clad alumna from the dating show. All were careful to highlight the authorities' handling of the situation, likely a wise move given the regime's brutal crackdown on freedom of speech. Former footballer Rio Ferdinand and his wife Kate lavished praise on the UAE government for doing an amazing job keeping people safe, even though Kate let slip that she couldn't wait to get out. Meanwhile, Miles Nazaire, ex-Made in Chelsea, distinguished himself by uploading fashion posts in his boxers. Come date with me, he said, as the bombs were raining down. It seems all life can be leveraged as online content, even war. Some were less sanguine, such as Petra Eccleston, Formula One heiress, who recently moved to Dubai with her husband Sam and 4 children. She said, we came to Dubai to feel safe, and we finally felt like we were settling in, and now this has happened. Poor Petra. I mean, where's an heiress to go these days to ensure that none of Daddy's money ends up in the wrong hands? Forgive me while I tune the strings on my tiniest violin. And she goes on, and I cannot believe I'm about to say this, but I agree with Sarah Vine.
What?
I know. Strange days indeed. This is what I wrote. No one disputes that the United Arab Emirates government has done a decent job of defending its citizens from swarms of Iranian missiles and suicide drones, but they're doing an even better job of the information war, aided not by sophisticated air defences, but by a secret army of international influencers, including, but not limited to, well-known British names singing their praises and lauding Dubai as, quotes, the safest place on earth. How many times have you seen these charlatans going on about this? I think it's allied to the orchestrated campaign to kid on that London is a very unsafe place. Same people that want to attack our capital city are bigging up Dubai. It's insidious, and it's pretending to be a grassroots thing. But it's paid for by billionaires who want to take business from London to harm our financial centre. That's what I think that this is about. And anyone who takes part in trying to harm our country should not be protected by this country. And they especially should not be allowed to come back in unless they pay back in tax every penny that they have saved by fleeing over there to live in an isolated British community in the baking hot sun, never attempting to fit in, never integrating, never respecting the local customs, never learning the language. A tiny island of Little Britain abroad, all Carlsberg and fish and chips and Premier League football, and whining about people who've come over here doing the same. The Daily Mail learned that behind the glitzy public relations message of solidarity lies a different reality, and the hard-line regime would not hesitate to imprison or deport anyone whose output on the internet was judged harmful to the reputation of the UAE. And I can't believe that it took a little light war to bring the Mail to admit this. Because up till now, it seems to me they've been posting stuff on a weekly basis, telling their readers how marvellous Dubai is, and printing acres of photographs of so-called influencers in their swimwear, drinking cocktails. Top 10 ways Dubai is better than London. Your easy guide to relocating. Come on in, the water's boiling. That sort of thing. The government over there has even cracked down on those reposting genuine footage of the first attacks on Saturday, which included drones and debris causing damage at the five-star Fairmont and the Palm Jumeirah, don't know, and that sail-shaped place, the Burj Al Arab. Legal action will be taken against those who publish or republish such content in violation of UAE law, the Post said. And in a country with one of the worst human rights records in the world, where severe restrictions on freedom of speech are backed up by an opaque justice system and widespread torture, no one takes such warnings lightly, says the Mail. Except they do take them lightly, because they've been drenched with propaganda by those people who want to do our country down. You know, the usual oily charlatans in Union Jack socks. Doesn't Reform number two, Richard Tice, commute back and forth to Dubai? Doesn't Reform number one, Nigel Faggash, constantly go on about how unsafe our country is? And did he not go to Dubai to secure funding for his party and drone on about how safe Dubai was and how little tax they paid? Didn't he actually say that the British government should learn from their approach? Their approach to what? Beating people to death who displease the government? Criticising or insulting the UAE government or its institutions, or spreading false rumours, can result in fines of up to £200,000 or up to 5 years in prison and possibly deportation. A situation made even worse if you own property there. One influencer insisting on anonymity said influencers are terrified of speaking out against the Dubai government. They believe it's a huge risk to voice their fears or reveal what's really happening and are worried that they could be deported or lose their homes. British citizens can be deported, lose their homes, or even face arrest for stepping out of line. Maybe that's what Farage found so appealing. With an eye on being our leader, he wants to do a Dubai to anyone who steps out of line. It would be just so very Donald Trump, wouldn't it?
Oh, shut up!
And apart from anything else, go to Dubai and you'll be surrounded by the worst of us. It's like the sluice gates opened and the most appalling Britons were sent down the plug hole and emerged in the blindingly bright lights of one of the hottest and most inhospitable places in the world, just so they could save a bit of tax. And now they want us poor dopes who stayed here and did pay our tax to throw them a lifeline. Absolutely not.
No, 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 no.
Former Geordie Shore star Vicky Pattison, currently holidaying in Dubai, was clearly following the official line when she told her followers the portrayal of Dubai being bombed was hyperbolic. British model and influencer Petra Eccleston posted in her Instagram stories, "This is what safety feels like. This is what resilience looks like. This is the UAE." Oh. Former Apprentice star Louisa Zisman similarly described Dubai as the safest country in the world. Can you imagine being locked in at a British expat open-air jail with that lot? And I don't know anything about any of these so-called influencers, so I looked them up. And their lips all look like they've strapped two swimming pool lilos to their faces. And every one of them has about a billion pictures of themselves on social media. All the same pouty pose. All at the same slightly off-centre angle. I mean, it could be artificial intelligence, but I don't think artificial intelligence could create anything that looks that unintelligent. I saw more realistic-looking people in the Barbie movie. There's less plastic in Legoland. There's about 50,000 influencers in Dubai, lured there, not just by the weather and its tax-free status, but also by a coordinated government campaign under the name Creators HQ, which offers generous help and advice in setting up their businesses, which are the business of propaganda. And for the most influential, there's a renewable 10-year golden visa for them and their families, provided they say the right thing about Dubai, which is why all you ever hear from those people is the same blooming thing. Oh, it's so lovely. And if you don't keep saying how lovely and safe it is, they'll take your money and they'll take you home and they'll put you in one of the world's worst prisons and flog you daily and fine you 200 grand. That'll wipe the pout off their faces. But, you know, thoughts and prayers. No hard feelings. 0345 6060973. How many more of these texts from yesterday? Oh, not many. Ah, wow. I am doing very well. Lynn says, have you noticed that Trump has had a pink rinse on his hair like an old lady? No. No, I had not noticed that. Which piece was that?
I don't wear a toupee.
Doesn't wear a toupee. Rob says Trump is already in the Bible. Just look at Revelations and the coming of the Antichrist. Yeah, I think that's what that rash in the back of his neck was. It's where he took his soul out. Joe says, Nick, I suspect even with your left-wing leanings, you have never lived in a communist country. Give it a go. Let us know how you get on. J- Joe is one of those people who thinks, well, if you don't agree with me, why don't you go live somewhere else then? No, I tell you what, Joe, you go live somewhere else. I'll stay here. It says, do you know what you're talking about at all? You sound like someone who's into too much politics. Wow. Just when you thought it couldn't get more stupid, it did. Paul says, here's another one for your Trump bingo card. When the war is over, Trump will add this war to the list of wars that he has ended. So, starting a war and ending it, solely to add to his list of greatest hits. What a way to run a planet, eh?
Dreadful.
0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 10:30. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
President Trump has lashed out at the UK and Sir Keir Starmer, saying the US no longer needs its aircraft carriers. He's been posting online following reports Britain was considering sending two to the Gulf region. Counter-terrorism police investigating allegations of spying for Iran have been given more time to hold three men. One is Iranian, the others hold dual British and Iranian nationality. And Canada's Prime Minister has condemned reports of gunfire at two synagogues in Toronto. Mark Carney's been calling them criminal anti-Semitic assaults. LBC weather, cloudy and damp across England and Wales with outbreaks of patchy rain overnight. Clearer skies for much of Northern Ireland and Scotland for most of the night. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees.
This is LBC.
When it comes to retirement advice, the last thing you want is to be put in a bucket. Seen as this type of person or that type of person. At Fisher Investments UK, we never put you in a bucket. We always tailor retirement advice that's just right for you. Fisher Investments UK. Retirement advice that's as individual as you are. Learn more at fisherinvestments.co.uk. Investing involves the risk of loss. Fisher Investments UK is regulated by the UK Financial Conduct Authority.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Life feels better with a smile. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Modern, comfortable and affordable dentistry for all. See online for our price match promise. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. And the whole world smiles with you.
Banningdental.co.uk.
Wrong tool for the job? Don't make that mistake with your van. Get up to 30% off selected new Toyota vans and pickups with a warranty up to 10 years or 100,000 miles with every qualifying routine service. Visit your nearest Toyota centre or visit toyota.co.uk/van savings for more details. Savings on selected vans and pickups ordered by the 31st of March 2026. UK residents, see toyota.co.uk for full details. T's and C's apply.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345-6060-973.
Right, so what are we doing?
Carol, we're doing a radio show. It does remind me that I do a podcast with Carol McGiffin.
Yeah.
Now, it has been taking a break for a while, but we are back in, a couple of weeks. There or thereabout. I can't be absolutely sure of the precise date, but it's a couple of weeks that we're going to be back. In the meantime, we've got a boatload of podcasts up there for you to listen to. There's over 300 of them to enjoy. And I do expect that you will find them gigglesome. It's called What's Your Problem with Nick and Carol? What is your problem with Nick and Carol?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tooting. Hello, Jan.
Oh, hi. Good evening, Nick.
Yes, Jan.
It's all... I've been trying to digest so much of the situation, but I think I've got a couple of points I'd like to make that struck me as on a positive note, where we don't know what Trump is going to do next. But it's what the Qatar, which is very much... with the West, do you know what I mean? They're a friend of the West and of America, yes?
I find it difficult to I find it difficult to say the name of that country. It sticks in my throat.
Qatar. It's the minister. It's what the minister, Qatar's minister, energy minister, has said that this war could bring down the economies of the world.
He did say
oil
that.
Prices surge.
Uh-huh.
And he said that Qatar has actually, his name is, I can't, shall I say his name?
No, it might stick in your throat.
No, just his, Qatar's en- energy minister,
yeah.
because their largest liquefied natural gas plant was struck down by an Iranian drone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're an enemy of Iran, aren't they?
Well, I'm sure that the Iranians were very apologetic afterwards because they seemed to be bombing people and then very politely apologising for doing that.
But the thing is, what struck me is that, you see, the Qatar's liquefied natural gas production is equivalent to about 20% of the global supply. So it plays a major role in balancing Asian and European markets' demand for fuel.
Yeah, 20%, that's about half, mathematically speaking.
Yeah. So what he's saying is that the thing is that he says no one can really try and force their way through the straits of Hormuz, which is the vital export route for connecting the oil supplies to the rest of the world. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, about a quarter of the oil supplies, and can't remember about 5th or 20% or 80% or some number of the LNG comes right through that to strait. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it says Iran will fire on any ship trying to pass through that strait.
It doesn't matter whether they do or not. All they have to do is threaten to do it, and no insurance company is going to insure any boat that goes through there, so no boat will go through there.
Yeah, so the minister, Qatar's minister of the oil and everything, he says bringing ships in straight is far too dangerous and it's too close to the shore.
Yeah.
But England, I mean, England has been saying that they want to send, you know, they want to get through to through this thing, and it's just not going to happen, is it?
Get through what?
The Straits of Hormuz. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
It's close enough for jazz.
Okay. So I'll leave that, because there's a
thank you.
There's a second one I want to say, Nick.
Yes.
Nick, there's a second one that I found very interesting.
Yeah. Thing number two, go ahead.
Yeah, is that the Shah's son, the original Shah that was deposed by the West, yeah? He's living in France.
The OS, the original Shah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one of the Shah that was deposed. So his name is Pahlavi,
mm-hmm.
and he is saying that he feels he's saying Trump mustn't treat Iran like Venezuela, and that he could be a transitional government in Iran.
Yeah, I know.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah? You're telling me this like it's new news.
Oh, no, it's to me. No, I'm just sharing.
Oh, it's new news to you.
Yeah,
I get
it's news
it.
To me today, right. Because I thought I'd just touch base with you on it, because I thought, what do you think about that? Do you think that's got a possibility to resolve things there in Iran?
I refer you to the answer that Donald Trump gave some while ago.
I know nothing.
Yeah, what do I know?
Oh.
Well, we'll find out when we get there. Excellent work. I want you to keep me updated with everything that you find out. All right, Jan? All right, cheers, my dear. Here's that story. Qatar's energy minister has warned that the price of a barrel of oil could surge to more than $150, dragging down global economies. Great. More great news. The comments came as the price of crude soared to around 7% to over $90 a barrel, having spent most of the year around the 60 to 70 a barrel mark. A rise to 150 would see it more than double from where it was before the tax on Iran began. The RAC says if oil prices hit $90 a barrel, the average price at the forecourt will rise beyond 140p a litre for unleaded, and at $100 it would go to 150p. Blimey. Which implies that at $150 a barrel, it would put petrol up to £2 a litre. If it was $100 a barrel, it would go to $150. So if it was $150 a barrel, it would go to about £2 a litre. Or more accurately, 199.99p. As though anything can be sold in hundredths of a penny. What is that about? How are they getting away with that, by the way? I filled up at a 135.99p a litre garage, and magically the amount came to a whole number of pennies. It was like a mathematical miracle. Qatar's energy minister told the Financial Times that such a rise will bring down the economies of the world.
whether it's sold in multiples of 0.99 of a pence or not. Qatar's energy minister said if this war continues for a few weeks, GDP growth around the world will be impacted. Everybody's energy price is going to go higher. He says there'll be shortages of some products and there will be a chain reaction of factories that cannot supply. He said Gulf energy exporters could shut down production and that in turn would drive the price of oil up, which makes it all the more odd that certain oily charlatans in Union Jack socks are so keen to keep us hooked on fossil fuels and are doing everything they can to turn us away from energy provided by the sun and the wind. Odd that, don't you think? Because I would reckon it was our number one patriotic duty to get us off fossil fuels as soon as possible. Almost makes you wonder who those oily charlatans are getting their money from. Wouldn't it be funny if we were being persuaded by propaganda paid for by people who profit from the sale of oil to keep being dependent on that oil? No, it wouldn't be funny, but I bet it's true. Net zero isn't stupid, and it's not about emissions and the climate. The sooner we get self-sufficient from oil, and the sooner we get all our power from the unlimited and free sources of the sun and the wind and the waves, then the freer we will be, which is, I thought, what those charlatans wanted. Freedom. But they don't. They want us to be free to keep their paymasters in the manner to which they have become accustomed. Hooked on oil. Nuts. 0345-6060-973. Martha Tidfield. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Nick.
Yes, Jeff.
I was mightily impressed at your noting of the people who are still out in Dubai.
Yeah.
In the sense that they all seem to have the same facial expressions and lips.
Yeah.
Of the cartoon characters in SpongeBob. SquarePants. Lips, I think, that would suck start a Harley Davidson.
I think so. I think that with those lips, you could suck a golf ball through through a garden hose. That's not mine. That's the sergeant in a Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you seem to be bitter about them coming back. You know, I mean, not really.
They can all come back. They have to pay every penny of their flight back and all of the costs that is involved, and every penny of tax that they saved by patriotically scarpering over there in the first place. Then they can come back.
Okay. The thing is, I cheerfully went to bed last night, and at 11:45, Malcolm came on to say various things in dubious nature of our activities of banning people. He seemed to be under the impression that he's banned. But I've been to the fax machine, and I can't find it banning at all.
I'm going to ban the both of you. You need to just get along, crying out loud.
I know. And I really do. I love the man. I love him. You know, he can come.
Well, let's not get carried away. Love is a strong word.
Well, anyway, he said a lot of things. Didn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Well, I wasn't listening, fortunately, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. Now, Farage, he goes over to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
And sees Trump and has dinner with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I suppose, a communique is made to the press denigrating Starmer, UK, allies, all this. Well, surely, you know, the thing is, what can anybody do about this? Because it seems, you know, all wrong.
But well,
everything is wrong, Nick.
Donald Trump is as popular in this country as the rabies. no one likes him. I mean, he's so unpopular. And so being attached to, in the public's mind, that man is not going to do any politician in this country any favours. We hate him. Yep. And so if that's what Farage wants to do, to pucker up and vapor lock onto Donald Trump's bottom, then best of luck to him.
Yeah, well, the thing is, there's there's big tests coming up now, May. Okay, we're into March. There's a fair bit of time yet, and a lot can happen. But the big test is coming here in Wales, Scotland, local authorities, mayoral things in England, and this is going to be the big test. And it's up to, I suppose, the electorate in these places to show that displeasure, because not only have they got a guy locked up for 10 years for traitorous behaviour, they've got loads of other things going on.
What people have to do is just show up. There's going to be about at least half of the electorate in all of those areas who won't even be bothered to get out of the house and go down to the voting booth. Just absolutely fries my brain. How can you not be interested in this period? Just get out the house and register a vote, and then we won't be run by extremists.
Exactly. And if people don't get that message, and these sort of secondary elections never get people out. You know, you talk 50% and all that, 40%. Mm. It's not like a general election, but it's even more important than a general election.
Yeah. The people that you elect or don't elect are going to affect your life personally on a local level. Never mind about whether we go to war or not. I mean, that's just something that happens elsewhere. Collecting your bins and doing the potholes in the road and making sure that people are getting the right care and, you know, all that stuff that affects your everyday life.
Exactly. The thing is, Trump is so bitterly hated. No, I think, personally, but who knows? It seems as if Reform love him and copy everything he does.
Well, I think that Reform seemed to me to be about 50 years behind the times. I mean, there is a whiff of the 1970s about them. So, you know, eventually they might get the message that to sucking up to Donald Trump is not going to do them any favours in this country any more than it is in America. I mean, his popularity is in the toilet even in America. His MAGA fans are leaving him in droves, so if Fagash thinks that the route to success is to be ever closer to that mess, well, I don't know what to say, really.
Good old Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Exactly.
She's doing a tremendous job.
I know. Yeah, amazing. I'm agreeing with the Sarah Vine and Marjorie Taylor Greene. What's happening? All right, got to go. Thanks a lot, Jeff. 0345-6060-973, LBC.
Hey, smart speaker. Play LBC.
Good morning, I'm Nick Ferrari. It's time to get to your calls.
First time caller. A little bit nervous.
Thanks for taking my call.
I will say the UK has been very, very uncooperative. This is not Winston Churchill that we're dealing with.
Hear every side of the story.
We have booked 5 different flights from Dubai to London, and every single one of these flights has been cancelled.
What more evidence do we need to show that Iran was only interested in fermenting danger?
Iran is entitled to defend itself.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. LBC, leading Britain's conversation.
Into the extraordinary every day with the Lexus LBX. Whilst most SUVs are big and brash, the LBX is quietly bold and confident. Refined luxury crafted into a compact SUV. The Lexus LBX. What car's best small SUV 2024 and 2025?
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
BetMGM
Cheltenham was born in Vegas. So just like the Cheltenham Festival, we know a thing or two about entertainment. Every ride, every race, every roar. This is Cheltenham Vegas style. Sign up to BetMGM now. Bet £10 and get £40 in free bets. That's right. Bet £10 and get £40 in free bets. Are you ready for the greatest show on turf? BetMGM. It's showtime.
Minimum stake £10. New customers only. Wagering requirements and conditions apply. 18 plus. Please gamble responsibly.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Hello.
Tracilla says, I felt nostalgic today and listened to the wonderful 1883 album, Soul Mining by The. Pretty sure that it's 1983. Soul Mining by The. Whilst it deals with the themes of obsession, social decay and heartbreak, it feels more positive than listening to the news at the moment, says Tracilla. Yeah, even Miserabilist's music sounds more positive than listening to the news. I preferred Infected. That was my The album. Penny in Swiss Cottage says, is Nick talking and producing his own show? Does he do his own stunts? Yes, I do. Tom Cruise drove a motorcycle off a cliff. I once drove a bicycle off a curb. So, there's that. Bath. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
I am great, mate.
Can I make a request that you not be so graphic with your metaphors? Because the previous one you just said to Jeff about Farage and Trump it's just a little bit too graphic.
Little bit too icky?
Whinging and whining and moaning.
Right.
Do you know, this is a tangent, it's been 2 years since that Willy Wonka chocolate factory experience in Glasgow. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh my God, this is the one that in 2024,
yeah.
They put all of their money into the marketing. They used AI images. It looked amazing. And then the horrendous images and videos came out of the actual thing, which was basically like a village hall with just like really terrible.
Yeah.
Please get your...
Well, I'm looking at a picture of it. She's way ahead of you. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It looks like a warehouse where they store stuff rather than the actual event.
Yeah, and there's videos of, like, children crying.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
Not that I enjoy seeing that, but it's been 2 years since that brilliant mess.
Right.
Occurred, yeah.
Why would that occur to you, though? I mean, it's 2 years since something awful, something not great happened in... Why is that on the top of...
Oh, no, I saw it on the internet. I didn't dream it up, no.
All right.
It just really made me laugh, because the footage of just how awful it is, like, the people dressed as the
yes.
Columbus...
Yes, other people's misfortune makes you laugh, I understand.
No! I suppose we have that in common then, don't we?
No, but, not at all.
Okay, I think I called to talk about was you briefly brought up smoking earlier. And I've
Did
been,
I? Oh, yeah, Mad Men. Yeah, Mad Men.
But I've been always fascinated and questioning why, you know, when you look at people from the past and they, like, I know a 30-year-old in the 80s, doesn't look like a 30-year-old now.
No, not at all.
And I wonder if it's because then they used to have, like, cigarettes on bread and stuff back then, you know.
Well, I think that they also used to work harder. I mean, you know, they used to be down to pit or working in a clanging, noisy factory and, you know, they didn't have holidays and they... I think the food wasn't necessarily worse. I mean, there was less choice, certainly, but they ate less of the terrible stuff that's, you know, making us spherical. So it might not be the food, but I think it was just the general lifestyle.
I don't know, man. Like, pre-1990s British food is pretty grim. Like, I honestly thought you were going to bring up avocado toast just then. But, like, you're talking about the 1970s. I mean, what did you guys eat? Like, beans out of a can and...
Yeah, beans. And, beans are good for you. Fish fingers. Chocolate angel whip. Ooh, I've got no idea what was in that. Probably
you
just
mean
a,
that, like, amorphous
A bowl full
substance.
Of brown chemicals. Mm, mm.
Well, I mean, you don't look a day over 66, Nick, so it must have been doing something.
That's
something good, very nice
of you to say that, Laura. Okay, cheers, Minnie. Gotta go. 0345-6060-973. Dave says, I don't know why everyone is so puzzled about Trump's reasons for starting this war. His is the most corrupt administration in U.S. history. The likelihood is that he wants to enrich himself by selling access to the Iranian oil reserves. But he's hardly going to say that out loud. His supporters won't question him, and it's better for his opposition to think that he is stupid than for them to show that he is corrupt. It does seem to be cornering the world oil reserves. Yeah, Venezuela is number one. Iran is number three, and Saudi Arabia is right in the middle there. He's coming for you, Saudi.
Oh, no.
Just saying. Wants that oil. He loves money. Let's see. Hackney, Richard.
Hello, Nick. I mean, your glamorous assistant said what you want to talk about, and I was just, well... Everything.
Everything, you know what I mean? Well, start at the very beginning, Richard. It's a very good place to start.
Well, you know that there's been a long history of the Pentagon taking the mickey out of the White House whenever they declare these wars. Way back in... Do you remember 2002?
When was that?
it was when we had George W. Bush.
George
as president.
W. Bush.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you remember thinking at the time that he was the worst, the stupidest...
The low point in American presidential history. Yeah, it couldn't possibly be any worse than him. And then they managed to find a way.
Oh, shut up!
What would you give to have him in charge now?
Wouldn't that be great?
I want the good old stable days of George W. Bush. Right. No, but when he first went into Iraq, and I always get Iraq and Iran mixed up, but...
to be fair, a lot of Iranians and Iraqis, they can't tell the difference either, so no biggie.
We've always been at war with Iran. We've never been at war with Iran. Yeah. They called the mission Operation Iraqi Liberation.
Right.
And it took the White House 2 weeks to work out that that spelled oil. And they got into a big angry kerfuffle.
I didn't notice that at the time. Yeah. I've only noticed it now. Huh.
Yeah, and they made them change it.
Right.
And now I feel that when I heard it's Operation Epic Fury.
Yeah.
Right. Because when I think of Donald Trump and I think of two word slogan, starts with EP.
Yeah.
And second word, F.
Yes.
Yeah. Epic Fury.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, nobody, I imagine nobody in the Pentagon is calling it Operation Epstein File.
Well, I hadn't thought about that either. God, you really are connecting the dots here, Richard.
Well, it's just... it's the only thing about this which actually made me crack a smile. I thought they're doing it again.
they're playing with you, Donnie.
Yeah. What's the difference between America and Iran?
That is quite coincidental, by the way. I mean, I wonder if somebody is actually having a dig here. Because of all the things that they could have been called, Epic Fury is... Does start with the same letters as Epstein Files. Huh.
It's just... I mean, you know, it's... anyway.
It's a coincidence, is what it is.
It was the very first thing I thought of.
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course. Of all the things that could have been called, of all the two-letter...
Of all the infantile things to call it, they came up with that one.
Yeah.
Made it sound like a video game for 12-year-olds.
You've seen the cabinet, the U.S. cabinet.
I have, haven't you?
Mm. U.S. video game for 12-year-olds.
It's about
where we're going.
Yeah.
I think the difference between the U.S. and Iran is that Iran have actually planned for this.
They have, yes, that's true.
I mean...
Yes, that is very true. They have planned for this, and none of what they're doing at the moment is off the top of their heads.
No,
in complete contrast to what America is doing.
Yeah, it's like go down into the basement and get out the red folder and crack it out on page one. What does it say to
pretty
do?
Much exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, and whereas the US are, okay, we're going to bomb them to destroy their nuclear capability. We've done that. Oh, no. They're two weeks away from building a nuclear bomb. We'd better invade them.
They've been two weeks away from building a nuclear bomb for about the last 15 years. They've been saying that pretty much every year that I can recall. 2 weeks away from making a nuclear bomb. We better go in there now. We better, you know, make sure that they don't do that anymore. And then they did, and then Donald Trump came along and ripped it up and then demanded the exact same piece of paper that he just ripped up, except with his signature on, not Obak Arama's.
Well, I mean, Iran were doing everything the US wanted them to.
Apparently so, yes. And America still said no. I don't think he's got the temperament for this.
But I have a strong temperament, and it's a very good temperament, and it's a very in-control temperament. I have a very strong temperament, but I have a temperament that's totally under control.
Totally under control. Thanks a lot, Richard. LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. President Trump has lashed out at the UK and Sir Keir Starmer over the government's response to the war in Iran. He's been posting online following reports Britain was considering sending more resources to the Gulf region.
I said, we don't need them. It's not the right time. It would have been nice to have had him 2 weeks ago, but the response they put out, I think, says it very well for you.
Donald Trump's online post also said the U.S. doesn't need people that join wars we've already won. LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks believes relations between the White House and Downing Street have been cooling all week.
When the Prime Minister said this week that you could see the special relationship in action in terms of the things that the United Kingdom and the United States were doing together with regard to this conflict, well, Donald Trump's answer to that came last night in Florida, the opening of Mar-a-Lago's doors to Nigel Farage.
President Trump's remarks have come after four US bombers landed in the UK. They're due to use British air bases for what are being described as specific defensive operations. The Israeli military says it's carried out around 3,400 strikes across Iran since the war began. The IDF is also claiming more than 150 of Tehran's air defense systems have been knocked out. Stephen Simon was a foreign policy expert in the Obama administration. He's been telling LBC more American resources are being sent to the Gulf.
The United States is now moving a third carrier battle group into the region, which would increase the sea-based tactical air power by about a third.
It's been confirmed the SOAM murderer Ian Huntley has died in hospital. He was attacked last month in prison. More now from LBC's Alex Hulse.
The 52-year-old was serving life with a minimum term of 40 years for the murders of 10-year-old Holly Wells and Jessica Chapman in SOAM in Cambridgeshire in 2002. He lured the girls to his home after they left a family barbecue to buy sweets. He left their bodies in a ditch. They weren't found for 13 days.
And police in the West Midlands say they're investigating a racially and religiously aggravated assault on a teenage boy. They say he's 14 and it happened at a park in Walsall on Friday evening. It's believed he was attacked by up to half a dozen people. LBC weather, cloudy and damp across England and Wales with outbreaks of patchy rain overnight. Clearer skies for much of Scotland and Northern Ireland. Although rain will eventually arrive there, we'll see a low of around 3 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
This is absolute tosh.
Is he crazy or is that just the way he acts?
I think the other political parties should really start hammering that home, that Farage appears to be in Donald Trump's pocket. And if you vote for reform, it seems like you're going to get Donald Trump with a British accent. Because he ain't popular here. I mean, I know it really must give Fagash a tingle to be so close to somebody in a huge amount of power. But I don't know what he's doing over there. Is he really thinking that the British public wants this country to get closer to Donald Blummin' Trump? Tom in Sevenoaks says, I'm getting so sick of the orange lump in the White House abusing our Prime Minister and trying to get us involved in another foreign war. I still remember your perfect analogy about Trump. You said it was like being strapped to a chair in a room with a baby running around holding a gun. That's exactly what it's like. You have no idea what's going to happen next. And neither does the baby. Adrian in Wicklow says, with the orange baby's consistent, inaccurate economic outlook and the increasingly dictatorial leadership style, it could be restyled as the liar dollar, as in Ayatollah. I know what you're saying, Nick. What's that hollow sound? It's the bottom of the barrel being scraped. Liar dollar. I mean, I could write that down as one of the Trump names to go in the next book. But would people get that straight away? I'd have to put Ayatollah in brackets after it. Let me think about that a while. Chippenham. Hello, Karen.
Oh, hello, Nick. Hello, good evening.
Karen.
So this week, several strong men have stood up to Donald Trump, including, obviously, the Spanish Prime Minister.
Yeah.
And I think we should jump on board and support them.
Correctamundo.
One in particular I was thinking of, actually. The toxic Trump regime is propped up by the toxic trillionaire tech oligarchon.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, a much more ethically minded tech entrepreneur, stood up to Donald Trump and his war machine run by Pete Hegseth.
Yeah.
And that's Dario Amodei, who co-founded the artificial intelligence company Anthropic.
Right.
And Dario Amodei, by refusing to allow the US Department of War to have unfettered access to its own generatively pre-trained transformer, Claude, for the purposes of mass surveillance and fully autonomous weapons. And in retaliation, Pete Hegseth designated Anthropic Claude to be a supply chain risk, you know, to try and put everybody off using it.
Now they're spending an ungodly amount of money trying to get them out of what the American administration have already put them into. It's going to be enormously expensive and incredibly difficult, but, you know, that's what you get when you're dealing with a baby.
Well, yeah, because obviously Donald Trump doesn't understand any of this. He just sees it all as a commercial proposition and doesn't understand how particularly AI and IT is interconnected with everything these days. We obviously have the same trouble over here, and our government has, not just the current one, but the previous one, we've given the contracts, sorry, not us, but the government have given contracts to a client of Peter Mandelson's Global Council lobbying company, and that company, which, you know, it has its own analytical databases and relational databases, that's been infiltrated now into our NHS and our defence, Ministry of Defence.
Infiltrated suggests something under the counter. We weren't infiltrated, we welcomed them in.
Well, that's because we were sold a load of rubbish. You know, we were sold, if we actually install this data analytics company into our systems, we were told that the NHS waiting list would be brought down. That's absolutely loads of rubbish, because the company concerned, they wanted our NHS data so that they could use it for carrying on, teaching their large language models to be better, to go towards...
I'm not sure that has been proved. You might have read that on the internet, but I don't think that is an established fact that they were using our data. I think that they would say quite strongly that they are not using our data for anything at all other than precisely what we are paying them to do.
Well, that's what we've been hoodwinked into believing. But what I think we should do is save lots of money if we cancel all of these contracts right now, right on Monday, cancel all the contracts and instead sign up Dario Amodei's company, and we should all jump on board with Anthropic.
Just because
we'll save a lot of money in the long term.
Yeah, just because one tech bro did something positive doesn't mean to say that they are, that they're to be trusted with anything. Let's, take them one issue at a time. But I understand your concern, Karen, and thanks for that. I'm concerned. The Americans wanted AI to be used in machine warfare tools that would be able to start and stop themselves, basically taking humans out of the decision-making process. And I've seen that film.
Affirmative.
And it's not good for humankind. And he said no, so good for him. All right, thanks a lot, Karen. Jenny in Shrewsbury says, if you don't like improv, you said it sets your teeth on edge last night, does that mean your entire show is scripted? Also, did you see the Shield of the Americas photo today? It's Marvel, isn't it? The Shield of the Americas photo. Now, what's that? I bet my glamorous assistant is looking that up straight away, if not sooner. I can't wait to see whatever that is. The Shield of the Americas photo. What is that? Ash says, enjoy Nick's Trump bingo card. Scarily accurate. Is he going to prepare a Farage one? Hope he doesn't have to. P.S. I also use Amazon to publish books, and the paperback formatting is a nightmare. It is a nightmare. Yeah. I got a genius to format the cover for me, but getting the text to actually fit on the page, I don't know why it's so difficult. Why? They haven't changed that app or that program that they put on the Kindle store for people who publish their own books. They haven't changed it since I started doing this. This is about, like, 15 years ago. It's still awful. The Shield of Americas. What is that?
Hold on, bear with, sorry. I'm just having a bit of a mare.
A bit of a mare. Like a horse, you mean. The Shield of the Americas. It does look like something out of a cartoon, but then, you know, so does the heavyset man who's standing in front of it.
Don't talk to me that way. I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
He is looking dreadful these days, by the way, isn't he? I mean, it looks like the energy is being sucked out of him. Maybe that deal with the devil, he's getting stiffed by the devil. But, you know, what are you going to do? He signed on the line expecting to be living forever. He forgot to add the clause, living young forever. Josie says, well, if Trump has already won the war and doesn't need our two aircraft carriers, great, bring them back home. Save us a fair bit of money. What a pilchard. calling you a pilchard, Donnie.
Oh, shut up!
He has no idea what that means, but he's very, very offended. And Ian in Cornwall says, did you see the pastors surrounding Donald Trump in the Oval Office? I couldn't help but thinking of the Last Supper. What is going through their minds? I mean, really, do they actually... Oh, never mind. I guess I'll never understand. I just won't. They think that Donald Trump has been sent by God to save America. Right. Manchester. Hello, Sam.
Hiya, Nick. You all right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, I've got a name for you for Trump.
Go on.
Donatella Khamenei.
Who?
Donatella Khamenei.
Donatella Khamenei.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I mean, it's a mashup of two different things, like Donatella Versace. Is that what you were going for?
No.
No? All right.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd give it a try, right. Yeah.
Okay, well, 10 out of 10 for effort. Thanks a lot, mate. 0345-6060-973. Yes, Spain stood up to Donald Trump. We should be more Spain. On Wednesday morning, the Prime Minister of Spain, Pedro Sanchez, delivered a 10-minute televised address with the title An Institutional Declaration by the Prime Minister to Assess Recent International Events. Wow, that sounds fascinating, doesn't it?
Boring!
No, but it was anything but boring. Hours after Donald Trump had threatened to cut off trade with Spain over its government's refusal to allow two jointly operated bases in Andalusia to be used to strike Iran, Sanchez, Prime Minister of Spain, he set out his thinking. In doing so, he became one of the very few European leaders to openly reject the demands of the US president, whose trademark negotiating style is an erratic mix of bullying, humiliation and self-aggrandizement. Exactly the sort of characteristics that we have always been told would be the British way to ignore or push back on. Apparently the Spanish were told that too, it's just that with them it stuck. The thrust of the Spanish Prime Minister's argument was that another war in the Middle East would claim numerous lives, further destabilise the world and have dire economic consequences, but on the plus side it would stop people talking about the Epstein files. Or at least it would have done if the US State Department hadn't just released the files of the FBI interviews with a woman who alleged that Donald Trump sexually assaulted her when she was a teenager after she was introduced to him by that individual. You believe that?
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Now, Donald Trump denies that that ever happened, and Caroline Levitt, his Angry Spice spokesmodel, denied it. And why would anybody question the truthfulness of either of them? The Prime Minister of Spain, Pedro Sanchez, said that a government's overriding duty was to protect and improve the lives of its citizens, not to manipulate or profit from global conflicts. Very sad. He's a total loser.
I make $400 million a year, so what difference does it make?
The Prime Minister of Spain, Pedro Sanchez, said it is absolutely unacceptable that these leaders, who are incapable of fulfilling this duty, use the smokescreen of war to hide their failure, and in the process line the pockets of a select few, the same ones as always, the only ones who profit when the world stops building hospitals and starts building missiles. Wow! He said, it is naive to believe that democracies or respect between nations can spring from ruins, or to think that practicing blind and servile obedience is a form of leadership. You think I'm making this up? I'm not. The Prime Minister of Spain said this. He said, we will not be complicit in something that is bad for the world and that has also contrary to our values and interests, simply out of fear of reprisals from someone. And who the someone is needs no explanation. He's tall and tan and young and lovely. The man from Mar-a-Lago goes warring. And when he passes, everyone goes... Only 15% of Spaniards have a favourable opinion of the US president, pretty much the same as here, if you take out the reformists, who apparently love him long time. They love him so much, now that they've got their freedom back after we left the European Union, they want to give that freedom to Donald Trump for him to run this country as a dictator. Because only then will we be truly free.
We've got a few idiots in our party.
Sanchez, one of the biggest European critics of Israel's conduct, he spoke out against the US armed toppling of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. He also defended and promoted the benefits of immigration, while politicians in other countries are competing with each other to say the toughest things on immigration. He said no to Trump. The French president, Emmanuel Macron, contacted Sanchez on Wednesday to say that France's European solidarity is fixed in the face of US trade threats. He said no to Trump. Denmark's prime minister said no to Trump in Trump's attempt to take Greenland. And all of those countries are still going, as far as I know. I mean, I could check on that. But I think if Denmark, France or Spain had ceased to exist, we would have heard about it on the news. You can say no to Donald Trump. I mean, the man seems to have been leaking brain fluid for a while now and following America into a war that even they don't know what it's for. And what the goal is, or what happens after they bomb a lot of stuff. I mean, it's like Trump is just running through all of the possible ways of getting people to stop talking about the man that he has a lot of pictures with. Nothing's worked till now. So he's bored of peace and he's doing war. Let's see if that works. And Trump wants to divide Europe, just like Vladimir Rootin-Tootin. So he swings wildly at any European country that doesn't hose him down with flattery and obedience. But Spain is out, and France is out, and Germany and Canada, and even Italy are out. Germany's Chancellor, Friedrich Merz, said that he had not wanted to contradict Trump on the open stage, but that in private talks, he'd stood up for Spain and the UK. Thank you, Germany. Italy's Giorgio Meloni said, we are not at war, and we do not intend to enter one. So, Skier, being alone in being reticent to follow a man with no map and no clue, not necessarily a great thing. But not a bad thing. You can say no to Donald Trump. And when people do, there's a sharp intake of breath the whole world round. It's like, did he just say that? He's not world king. We have to convey that message to that man. 0345. Maybe we could send the MP for Clacton over there to whisper it in his ear. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
This is Taxation Without Representation.
Straight to the point.
You get giddy with all these U-turns.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Lucky he gets up in the morning, really, isn't it?
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
Enter the birthday draw by midnight tomorrow, and you could win a life-changing £1 million. Visit thebirthdaydraw.com. 18 plus, UK only, no purchase necessary.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper, to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato, and spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah!
Tuesday night on the sofa, watching telly with Mum again.
May Walkers stay with the mothers for life.
This is the moment Stephen chose to speak to Barclays about Mortgage Boost, so he could borrow more with help from family or friends. We're helping first-time buyers get on the property ladder sooner. Search Barclays Mortgages. Barclays, backing your future.
Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Subject to application, financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
You're wondering what it's all about, and I can't tell you because I don't know myself.
But I do have some good news. A couple of good news stories, and I'll come to those in a minute. York. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Nick.
Jan.
How are you tonight?
I am great, mate.
Good. I just want to say a couple of light-hearted things from recent podcasts, if I can.
Yes.
Right. The first one, it was during lockdown, and you've been wearing tracksuit bottoms all the time, haven't you?
Oh, now you're talking about the Best Of podcast called the Nick Abbott Habit.
That's right, I am, yeah.
Because I've changed that up. I'm making them much longer, and they're now coming out twice a week. Because it was only once a week, and they were about half an hour. Now they're about 45 minutes, there or thereabouts. And they come out twice a week now, doubling your pleasure. Jan.
Exactly. And you'd been wearing tracksuit bottoms, haven't you?
Yeah.
Elasticated waist.
Elasticated waist trousers, yeah. Very, very dangerous.
And then you went out and put a pair of jeans on.
Yeah, awful.
And then you said you'd never wear them again.
Never wear them again.
Now, I want to know, have you stuck to that?
I think I have, yeah.
Have you?
I've got a couple of pairs in the cupboard, and I think they're still in there. What's curious about cotton clothes, if you don't wear them, they shrink. Did you know that?
Yes, I do know that, yeah. Yeah.
Not a lot of people are aware of that, but if you don't wear, particularly jeans, for a really long time, it turns out they shrink.
And that's right, yeah.
Curious.
Well, You don't wear tracksuits outside, do you?
Always.
Oh, do you?
What do you mean, oh?
I don't think they look good out, you know.
Well, I don't wear them to look good. I wear them to be comfortable.
Yeah, but they're okay for slobbing about in the house.
Thank you.
But
yeah, well, I slob about everywhere I go. It's a slob.
Not in the street. I think they look horrible.
Of course. Well, who cares if I'm in the street and I look horrible? What difference does it make?
I'm disappointed. I thought you might not wear them outside.
Yes, of course you wear them outside. I mean, once you've worn elasticated waist trousers, you can't go back. You just can't. Nothing else is more comfortable than this, apart from nothing at all. Would you prefer that I wore nothing at all, Jan? Those are your options.
Not really.
Not really, no.
Not really. Just before I go on to my second point, this is something to do with the first one, really.
Right.
You know when you leave work?
Yeah.
How do you avoid all your fans waiting for you outside?
Easily, because there aren't any.
Well, I'm surprised at that. Surely there should be.
No, there shouldn't be. Don't even think about it, people.
I thought there might be a secret tunnel that brings you out somewhere else, you know.
Well,
and,
wouldn't that be great?
Well, it would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, my second point.
Mm-hmm.
You were on about the police at the end of Downing Street.
Oh, yes, that's right. Every time I pass there, there's two police absolutely bristling with armaments. They're up to their eyeballs in guns and whatever else it is they've got on their bat belts. And they're always talking, always. Mm. It doesn't matter what time of the day I go by. When I come into work, they're standing at the gates and they're talking. And when I go home, they're still standing at the same gates talking. What on earth do they talk about?
Well, you know what they're probably saying.
What?
There goes that Nick Abbott again.
If only he slows down, we'll get a pot shot off.
No, honestly, that's what they're saying.
Yeah. But I'm glad that you brought that up. That's the Nick Abbott Habit, one of the three podcasts that I do. And when Carol comes back, it's going to be six a week. Blimey, talk about busy.
How can we keep up with it?
I know. So the Nick Abbott Habit is now in extended version. And it comes out twice a week on Mondays and Wednesdays. The Nick Abbott Habit. Ask for it by name on an internet near you. Jan.
Yeah. I do. I listen every week.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Jan.
Okay.
Cheers, my dude. Ta-da. Alex in Leeds says, I disagree with critics of Donald Trump who say that he does not have a plan for the day after once the fighting is over in Iran. I read that wrong. Doesn't have a plan for the day after once the fighting is over in Iran. Trump does have a plan and he'll get back to you with it in about... in about 2 weeks. Yeah, he's got a strategy.
There's no strategy. I have no strategy. There's zero strategy.
Zero strategy. It's about the only thing that he's ever said that I believe. Matthew says, Trump seems to be running foreign policy like a bloke who's decided to tidy the garage and has somehow ended up starting three new projects and buying a chainsaw. Yeah. Yep. That's right. Newcastle, Matty.
Hey, you alright, Nicky?
Yeah, good, thank. Did you just call me Nicky?
No, Nick.
Okay, so, carry on.
If you don't like Nicky, I'm sorry.
Right.
I just wanted to talk about Nigel Farage and why would the British public vote for someone who started Brexit and got into the situation that we're in now?
Because he makes them frightened of foreigners.
I know, they're terrible foreigners, right?
Well, some foreigners are terrible, some Brits are terrible. You know, that's just people.
Yeah, like Ian Huntley dying today compared to... That was a good thing. Good bit of good news.
Are you the guy that called last night about that?
No, I'm just saying it's good news, right? Like, well, in comparison to the trivial...
No, I would prefer right. Trivial. I think the trivial would be better than that. You know, I just think it's a bit of a weird thing to be delighted about. You're doing a little happy dance. I don't want to talk about that. Rose in Battersea says, I think Trump looks like the Incredible Bulk. Well, that's just offensive, Rose. Martin says, I'm sick to the bone of all the stuff coming from the other side of the pond, so I'll be visiting Birmingham and London this year for our good friends from... For our good friends from carbon-based life forms who can let me forget the real world for a few hours. Oh, you mean they're doing a show? Huh. Carbon-based life forms. If you haven't heard carbon-based life forms and you like chill-out music, there is pretty much nothing I can think of bar Global Underground. There's an album that they did that's got an ear on the front. I can't remember the name of it because it's named as long as the album is. It's named in minutes, as are the tracks. But I think it's something like 7611, something like that. It's a band called Global Underground. And I can only think of that album that is more chilled than carbon-based life forms. It's about as chilled as you can go. And they're playing in Birmingham, London, are they? Well, I missed that. I'll tell you what other thing I missed today was... well, I'll get to that in a minute. Stephen Wilson, my favourite album of last year, called The Overview. And I just found out that he's doing two shows at the end of the year, and it's all blooming well sold out already. What a life, eh?
Dreadful.
Richard in Seaford says, I noticed that President Tango has posted some nonsense on his ridiculously named Truth Social, attacking Keir Starmer over Donny's stupid war. I can see in my mind eye Nige grinning and clapping as it was being typed out. A bit like a pathetic kid at school who thinks he's mates with the classroom bully, only to find out later how wrong he is. Donnie and Nige, the 21st century spitting image, two Davids, a match made in heaven. Yeah, I mean, the thing with Donald Trump is that people don't... I guess people think that they're special, that their relationship with him is somehow special, and it won't go like how everybody else's relationship with that man has gone. He's going to throw you under the bus. He just will. Name anybody that worked with him in his first term that's working with him now. I bet you can't. All under the bus. Dave says, I think David Icke saw the John Carpenter film Them when he got high as a teenager and thought it was a documentary. Well, there's no evidence that he got high as a teenager, or any other age, for that matter. But you might have something there. I don't know. I'm just asking questions, as are you, Dave. This text says, I love Dubai. It's the safest place in the world, you idiot. Yeah, okay, great. Well, enjoy. 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.com. I love the you idiot part on the end, as though, you know, any fool know that. Haven't you read propaganda? Where was I? 0345-6060-973. I'll just leave it at that. LBC, it's 11:30, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
President Trump has taken a swipe at Sir Keir Starmer online, saying the US doesn't need people that join wars we've already won. He's been writing following reports the UK was considering sending aircraft carriers to the Middle East. The US is also denying claims from Iran several of its soldiers have been taken prisoner. Tehran's leading security official says the Americans have been claiming they've been killed in action. And it's been confirmed the Soham murderer Ian Huntley has died in hospital. He was attacked last month at a prison in County Durham. LBC weather, cloudy and damp across England and Wales with outbreaks of patchy rain overnight. Clearer skies for much of Northern Ireland and Scotland for most of the night. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees.
LBC.
At Lloyds, we love that moment a dream becomes a reality. Like for Rob, he's in the supermarket when his phone bleeps. It's his daughter. She's in Manchester, at uni. The message is short. She's happy. And just like that, Rob knows every penny he invested and saved was worth it. He texts her back, heart emoji. At Lloyds, we've been asking the nation about their dreams. That's how we know Rob's story and thousands of others just like it. We've been backing the nation's aspirations for 250 years. So when it's time to realise your dreams, we're ready when you are. Bank on Lloyds.
Go from someday to sunny days in Greece with package holidays from £329 per person. So stop dreaming of souvlaki. Stop scrolling crystal clear beaches. Search EasyJet Holidays and get your holiday in Greece sorted today. Get out there. Selected dates April to September. Limited availability. Adult protected. T's and C's apply.
Okay, do emails. Ah, burnt toast. And now I've got to sort my repeat prescription.
Or just tap the NHS app.
The one I've already got?
Yep, you can check test results, view your GP health record and request repeat prescriptions anytime, anywhere.
All while the kettle's boiling?
Before it boils. And turning on notifications means you'll know the moment you get a new message. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Never miss a message. Request repeat prescriptions and more when you tap the NHS app.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
It blows my mind, Nick. It really it does my nutting.
Yeah, mine too. I don't know how we stand it. Naomi says, last week you said you'd stopped watching Industry as there were too many sex scenes in it. Yesterday you said The White Lotus was one of the best series of recent years and you could not wait for the next season, or words to that effect. I have watched both. The sex scenes in White Lotus are far more graphic than Industry. Why is White Lotus okay? No, it's not. Well, not what I saw. No, I think there's just way too much. It's as though people think, oh, well, it's not moving the plot along. It doesn't really have anything to do with anything at all. But let's just get the main characters to take their clothes off and grunt on each other for a while. We know they're not doing it. Why do they keep putting that in? I think they assume that we, the audience, are demanding it. Otherwise, we'll say, right, that's it, we're leaving. Can't see any flesh at all on this programme. And then we realise it's the news. I bet the news would get much better ratings if they read the news in the nude. I don't really understand why they haven't done that already. Now, there's just way too many sex scenes in TV programmes these days. And it's not because I'm prudish. I'm not offended by it. I'm just bored by it. You know, oh, God, when is this going to end? Stop pretending to do it and just get on with a blooming story, for crying out loud. I don't remember any sex scenes in White Lotus. Okay, I remember one. But it wasn't really very graphic. It was more that we knew what they were doing. We didn't see them doing it. Awful. Can you believe that?
Disgusting.
Awful. Something should be done about it.
I think it's disgusting. I really think it's disgusting. I think something should be done about it.
Something should be done about it. Bodmin. Hello, Malcolm.
Good evening, Nick. How are you?
Yes, very well, thanks.
Let me give you a name. Stephen Miller.
Yeah, Stephen Miller. Mm-hmm.
He is someone from the first Trump administration who is even bigger than he was in the first administration.
I don't remember him from the first administration. He was there in the first administration, was he?
Oh, my God.
Maybe memories are becoming confused.
Anyway, on that score, look, I'm... Oh my gosh, it scares me. It's March 2026 now, yeah?
March 2026, yes.
Cast your mind back to March 1960. Who was born then, Nick?
Me?
No, me. You were born in August.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, August, right? In 1960. Yeah.
Yeah, so, Nick, look, it's a big year. Look, there's so much for you and me to talk about tonight, but can I just speak about a couple of three things, yeah?
Go on.
So I'm planning a road trip, right? And it's a big one.
A road trip?
A road trip, yeah.
Right. Where are you going?
From here to the very northern, most northern part of Scotland, back to here in Cornwall, but I'm going via Wales, the Lake District, Ayrshire, what's that place up the east, west side there, Nick? Oh, come on, to Glencoe, Fort William.
Yeah. What are you doing this?
Then,
what are you doing this for?
Because I'm 66, Nick, and it has to be done.
Right.
Now, you did all
this. Hang on a minute. You're 66 and it has to be done, but you're going by car. I mean, you saying it has to be done rather implies that some sort of physical effort is involved, but you're just going to be sitting there.
No, because there'll be so many stops that it won't be a chore, Nick. And your listeners all over Britain might, if they look out their windows, they'll see me passing. But they won't know it's me because I will simply be passing. But I'll be passing one place in particular. And I think last night, Nick, I was a bit harsh because I assumed I was banned from an establishment, but it turns out I'm not.
Right.
And that establishment was, I thought, 23.4 miles from Mercer. And you recall last night, I did suggest to you, that's an awful long way for a man to travel to his local. But it turns out, Nick, that 23.4 miles is the way the crows fly, yeah?
Yeah.
But the crows don't fly in Wales, Nick. They just walk slowly.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. So it's actually 1.5 miles from Mercer, this pub.
Right.
So I'm heading there in... I would say middle of April, end of April, and I will stop off. I will thank them for not banning me, and I will meet several locals, one in particular, I hope, and away to go.
Right, well, please, when that happens, don't tell me anything about it.
Don't mention your name.
No. I'm begging you.
Right, now look, Nick, on steer calm, right? And Trump and America. All we've got to do is just find some sand and bury our heads in it.
Mm. Steer karma. I cannot believe I haven't heard that yet. Steer karma. How obvious is that?
No, it's that's not original from me, Nick. Oh, come on, it's all over the media. But look, what we've got to do is we've got to find some sand, put our heads in it, and don't bring our heads out unless we're fairly confident that we're not going to hear any nonsense. Now,
right, that sounds like a good plan to me.
Right, well, a certain president who you, I can't believe that you mentioned juice leaking from the brain of a president. Mm. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say, sir. But it's happening, right, clearly.
He looks like a balloon that's slowly deflating. I mean, every time I see him, every day in every way, he seems to get older and more wrinkled, and just it's like somebody's sucked the I'll rephrase that. It's like the gas has been leaking out of him. Or maybe I should rephrase that.
Yeah, I would.
it's like a slowly deflating balloon. I'll just leave it there.
We just have to, as I said a moment ago, we got to find some deep sand, bury our heads in it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm there with you already, yeah.
But what we also have to do is to just sit back and look at our prime minister, who one day, God, should be president of the UK, who knows. And we have to say thank you, Lord, because you've given us someone who is not going to get us killed too soon, hopefully.
Right. Well, not deliberately, anyway.
No, we'll all be dying eventually, Nick. No, there's no question about that, right? But we've got a president. My God, that's wishful thinking again, isn't it? We've got a prime minister, Nick, who I think is starting, and this is going to sound so corny, starting to come into his own, although for me, When I voted for him, when I joined the Labour Party in January 2020, so I could vote for him 3 months later in April, right? That guy, Keir Starmer, has to be back because, Nick, we're 5 years on. I haven't changed my tune at all because, for me, the guy just gets... Yes, he's boring, and he gets more boring, but he just seems more and more, to me, like the man that we need in these times.
I think we need boring. I think when there's craziness around, I think boring is a very good option. I think we should go with boring.
Nick, this is 5 years after Brexit, right? 5 years after Brexit. And you and me used to speak in 2016, 17, 18 and 19, through the Johnson years, through the May years. And we used to say, look, the Brexit has happened. We cannot even raise our heads above the parapet and even suggest that we have to fight Brexit. We tried up until about 2018.
Yeah.
But I think you and me both agreed. The time came when that had to stop and we had to say, okay, let's just keep our voices down because it will come. And Nick, it's coming. It's coming now in 2020.
Well, it's coming now because the people that voted for it have fallen off the end of life's conveyor belt. They're not with us anymore because they're older people voted for Brexit and the younger people, by a massive margin, want nothing to do with it.
Well, that's your theory, Nick, right?
It's not a theory, it's a fact.
Nick, my theory is, right, it is coming, but it's coming because it is a necessity rather than a wish on your part or my part.
And
we're
being pushed ever faster into it because of the tangerine scream in the White House. If he does anything at all, it'll be to get to Europe to hug each other even more closely.
Yeah, Nick.
Yeah. Okay, all right, got to go, Mug. How's Brexit going, by the way?
Brexit's going great.
Glad to hear it, Nige. Is it everything you always dreamed it would be?
Brexit was never going to solve any of our domestic problems.
Wow. That's what he said. When pressed, he said...
Brexit was never going to solve any of our domestic problems.
Brexit was never going to solve any of our domestic problems. That's what he said.
I'm a nutcase.
Yeah. 0345-6060-973. Sully says, what really gets me that Trump obviously doesn't take any advice from his wife. Her makeup is emasculate. Emasculate. I think you mean immaculate. Yet her husband can't even choose a matching face foundation. He prefers to look like an orangutan's bottom. Yet he and his cronies, and even people here, think that he's fit to rule a nation, even the globe, never mind a successful war crazy, says Sully. Some of that made sense. Sam in Surrey says, I think that pink rinse on... I noticed that pink rinse on Trump as well. Blends nicely with the panda tan. He does have a panda tan. I don't know why he doesn't do his eyes. Maybe he's got, well, like a pair of swimming goggles, and he presents himself, and they hose that colour on him, like they're painting a car. And that's why he's white around the eyes, because he's got to wear, you know, like swimming goggles, so he doesn't get any of that, whatever that stuff is, in his eyes. That would make as much sense as anything else I've heard this week. Paul in Coventry says, just saw a clip of Trump saying prayers in the Oval Office and they were all laying hands on him. It looked like Jesus Christ at the Last Supper. He is so full of himself. Well, he's full of something. They all are. Absolutely ludicrous. God has sent Donald Trump to save the world. Okay. Right. Jason in Epsom says, doesn't your heart bleed for the expat tax dodgers who are only allowed to spend 3 months a year in the UK lest they become liable for the tax that pays for the defence of the country they profess to love? Apparently a fair few couldn't get back to Dubai in time because of Orange Don Scaredy Pants frolics in Iran. Now they're on the hook for to HMRC for a hefty wage. Shame. Yes. They shouldn't be allowed back in the country without paying a hefty wage. They should have had their citizenship removed. If you want to go and save money by living in a country where you can not pay tax for the benefit of the country that you are supposedly patriotically feeling about, I know that wasn't a very good way of putting it, but you know what I mean, then you should have to pay the entire amount of tax that you dodged by shipping yourself off over there. Or you should have your citizenship removed and then you can live there forever as a sort of punishment for your bad choices in life. Rob says, it's no good Trump protesting it was never regime change he was after. It's clearer than ever after today's outburst that he wants rid of Labour over here. Yes, absolutely. It's not in question. They wrote that down. Regime change in European countries. That's what they want. They want to install their own people. God, it's like a world takeover. First, it was a slow-moving coup to take over America, and now it's an ever-faster-moving coup to take over the entire planet. 0345. So I still have good news, by the way. I'll get to that next. I think we all need a little bit of good news. A little bit of positivity. Not necessarily going to, you know, make you skip about the place, but it'll put things in perspective. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Prime Minister might be worried that it's illegal.
Legalities aside, there is a moral duty to act. Iran is a threat to our country.
Hear every side of the story.
International law is what international law is. Do you think this was legal or not?
We are involved in this now. And whether or not our bases should have been used, that's now, that's gone.
Your position is that this action was moral, but you're not convinced, or perhaps you don't much care that it was legal.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
What makes a special date memorable? What if that date won you a life-changing £1 million? Every week with the birthday draw, there's £1 million to be won. And you can enter from as little as £1 or via post. Enter by midnight tomorrow and you could win £1 million. Visit thebirthdaydraw.com. Is it your lucky day? From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
With a gift in your will to UNICEF, you'll know that the job of making a better world for every child is in good hands. It'll be the start of an incredible journey, connecting you with a powerful community of people working tirelessly to protect and nurture children so they're empowered to take on the world. To find out more about leaving a gift in your will that never stops working for children, search UNICEF Legacy for a free guide today.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
With over 50 years' experience, Fidelity can help you feel confidently invested. Make the most of your annual allowances by the 5th of April with our expert insights, excellent service, and wealth of investment options. For ISAs, pensions, or advice, go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Mind telling me what this is all about?
For the moment, it's about Claire in San Francisco. Hello, Claire.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Well, I'm feeling a little anxious at the moment about 2 minutes into being put on hold in your caller queue. All the power went out in my house.
Uh-oh. They're watching you.
They found us. I think. Yeah, it's still out. Yeah, it's been about 20, 25 minutes.
Wow.
Seriously, it was 2 minutes and all of a sudden everything just popped off. So
blimey. Wow.
Anyway, I hope this isn't my final call to you because I do enjoy listening chatting with you. So last Saturday you had a very nice lady call in who kept asking the question, who can stop him? And I remember she said she got so frustrated thinking about it, she tried to open a jar of olives in her garden or her kitchen, and she dropped the olives.
Oh, yes, I remember that, yeah.
Just trying to figure out who can stop Trump.
Mm.
And the answer over here is there's nobody to stop him.
Well, he said that the only person who can, the only thing that can stop me is my own morality. So we're screwed then.
Right. Well, everyone, the people who are so upset and just terrorized by his behavior, say, you know, when you think about why don't the Republicans stop him, it's easy to think that they don't do it because they're afraid.
Yeah.
And the other notion is...
Afraid and greedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't do it because they agree with him.
No. No, they do it because that's, at the moment, where the money is.
Yes, absolutely. So I was glad to hear you talk about the European leaders, like the Prime Minister of Spain?
Spain and France and Germany and Denmark, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe they can set the model for someone over here to get some guts. But right now, we are very discouraged over here that no one is standing up to him. The other comment I wanted to make was I was listening to LBC, but it would have been early this morning our time, in the 5 a.m. hour over here, and there was a political analyst on who was talking just about what you've been talking about. His goal is to take over all the oil distribution in the world.
Mm.
Yeah, and his comments included he's cut off oil to Cuba now. So, because that comes from Venezuela.
Right.
He'll control the Strait of Hormuz. And so there goes that control of oil. And as you mentioned earlier, if Saudi Arabia's next, it's going to be pretty frightening to see it all happen to make him the czar of oil on the planet.
Yeah. Well, that's also where the money is. Yes, that has to be what, if there is a plan at all, that has to be it.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, we can pray for a miracle. He's looking worse, as you say, every single day.
He really is. Yeah, terrible.
The cankles and the bruises on his hands and now the neck rash. And, I volunteer at a local senior center, and I've seen how, but I'm close to their age myself.
Right.
But I volunteer. And, you know, it's very apparent as these Alzheimer's dementia patients start to deteriorate. I think our only hope is for Providence to step in. So,
yeah,
who knows?
I don't know whether he's mentally deteriorating because he's kind of always been like this. But he very much looks like he's physically deteriorating. I mean, he sits like a sack of potatoes. Have you ever seen anybody slump in a chair like that?
No.
Everybody else is bolt upright. And he's sitting down like he's got all of the weight of the world on his shoulders. But, you know, MAGA, his fan base, they're upset at him for all sorts of things. They are furious about him not releasing the files of you-know-who.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein. They're furious about him getting them into another foreign war because he said that he was going to release the Epstein files and then he didn't, or he released just the ones that were, okay by him. And he is getting them into another foreign war, and dead Americans are already coming back and... all of the stuff that they promised, that Trump promised, and the lower prices, and they're all going up, and of course now they're really going to go through the roof. Price of gas, as you say, is really going to go up. Yeah. And so he just lied and lied and lied to them, and they believed and believed and believed. But now they're thinking, oh, well, you know what? Maybe we have been duped.
Right. Right. What I wonder about is he'll be gone someday. He's mortal just like the rest of us. Where will they put all that energy, all that cult energy? Certainly not to J.D. Vance.
No.
He's no cult leader.
No, not a chance.
So, they'll just fight amongst themselves, I guess.
Well, Steve Bannon said something like, there's never going to be another Trump. We've got to do it now. There's never going to be another Donald Trump. And I think that may be true, certainly in the short term. So they're going to have to cement themselves in place. All of these psychotech bros... And the evil people behind the scenes who are, who are pulling the strings, they're going to have to cement themselves in place, in a position of power forever. Otherwise, they're all going to jail.
Yeah.
So it's going to get, I would expect that, even if Trump starts to get really ill or passes away entirely, I think it's just going to get worse. You know, the November elections that are coming, the midterms, they call them? I don't think I don't think you're going to have them. I think that he will declare a state of emergency for one reason or another, and it might be a false flag attack, is what I'm predicting now. It'll be some sort of attack against America that in 50 years' time will realize, oh, you know what, we did that. Yeah, funny.
Right.
And then he'll declare a state of emergency and you won't have any elections.
I think that's pretty close. I think that's right. Yeah, it's pretty frightening.
Is your light? Are your lights still off?
They're still off. It's been a half hour. Yeah. Now I'm getting nervous. I'm listening for the helicopters.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that's right. There'll be helicopters and people abseiling out the side of them. They'll be surrounding your house and they'll put a tent over it and a bag over your head and lead you out the door. You'll never be seen again, Claire.
Rappelling off my roof.
Yes. So I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Nick. Take care.
Cheers. 0345-6060-973. Oldbury. Hello, Ranjit.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, Ranjit. Right. Yes, good, thanks.
Yeah. I just want to know one thing on a light-hearted note. You know these immigrants that are living in Dubai?
Yes.
Why do they call themselves expats?
Expats, yeah.
Expats.
Economic migrants,
aren't they?
Is what they are. Economic migrants.
Yeah. Okay. You know, regarding the war, I want to come to something, lighthearted later. I just watched earlier on, the bodies of the six soldiers that were returned to America.
Yeah.
Okay. Delaware, the Army base or the Air Force base. You know, normally when we pass, if a coffin passes us, like in a hearse, we take our hat off, okay, just show a bit of respect. Now, you know, in Wootton Bassett, where our soldiers used to be repatriated when they were dead, where the hearses went past and people threw roses at them.
Right.
Yeah. Now, in America, they loaded the three coffins onto two vans, three apiece. Is that any form of dignity for the...
I didn't see that. All I saw was malaria standing there looking furious and Trump off to the side. He wasn't in the centre, which is kind of weird. I didn't see him until after a little while because I was just looking at malaria thinking, why is she there? I bet she's absolutely... apoplectic to have been roped into all that. And, oh, blimey, there he is. There's Donald Trump.
With his white baseball cap.
Off,
take it off, you idiot,
off
mate.
To the
you
side.
Know, take it off, show a bit of respect.
Yeah, okay. Okay, then, you know what? You know, I want you to start a new, if you can, a bingo card, yeah?
For who?
Of the World 11 for football, yeah? You know, there's a World Cup going on, yeah?
Yeah.
I've got a starter, right? Kim Jong in goals, yeah? Donald Trump as the captain, and then Nigel Farage as the boot boy. You know, picking everybody's boots up and cleaning up after them.
Well, okay. just the one pair of boots.
An idea. Right. And you know when you talk about Katie trousers and tracksuit bottoms?
Yeah.
Okay. I reckon Donald Trump has to wear those. So I think he might have to go back to wearing jeans.
Well, he has a very, very strange-looking trouser. I mean, it probably is made to fit his precise specifications. but it's a very, very strange-looking pair of trousers that he wears. They're a shape that I have never seen trousers Yes.
Yeah. One last thing. Is Nigel Farage going to become a tax exile because he doesn't spend any time in this country anymore?
Well, I think if fair's fair, he spends so little time here that it'd be unreasonable of us to get any tax from him. Yeah, that is a good point, Ranjit. We want to be fair about this. All right, excellent work. Thanks a lot, mate. 0345 6060 973. Okay, after the break, I've got two good stories. Kind of, and I am determined to give them to you before one. If you can't listen to this anymore, you've got to go to bed, then the shows do get put up as a podcast after they're over, you know.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. President Trump has taken a swipe at Sir Keir Starmer online, saying the US does not need people that join wars we've already won. He's been writing following reports the UK was thinking about sending extra resources to the Middle East. LBC's Washington correspondent is Simon Marks.
Just hours after dining at Mar-a-Lago with Reform UK leader Nigel Farage, President Trump has fired off another broadside at the Prime Minister. He calls the UK once America's great ally, says he is aware that Sir Keir Starmer is considering deploying two Royal Navy aircraft carriers to the Gulf, but accuses the Prime Minister of seeking to join wars after we've already won. He says the carriers are not needed in what is a fresh assault on the UK's sovereign right to make its own defence decisions. Simon Marks, LBC, Washington.
The US is denying claims from Iran. Several of its soldiers have been taken prisoner. Tehran's leading security official says the Americans have been claiming they've been killed in action. Israel says it struck numerous fuel storage complexes in the Iranian capital, Tehran. It says they needed to be destroyed because they were helping to operate military infrastructure. John Hemmings is director of the National Security Center at the Henry Jackson Society. He's been telling LBC the regime in Tehran appears to be getting more rattled.
They're trying to keep the regime stable from a population that clearly dislike them. I mean, they put themselves in this position by supporting Hamas in October 7th. Whether or not they can keep it together depends really on the Iranian population and the U.S.-Israeli ability to maintain the level of tax with the level of sophistication that we've seen so far.
Four people have been arrested during a demonstration against Washington and Israel's continuing strikes on Iran, which ended outside the U.S. Embassy in London. It took place while groups opposing the current regime in the Islamic Republic and backing the U.S. campaign gathered near Downing Street. A 7-year-old boy has died following a collision on a main road in Staffordshire. It happened at about 5 o'clock on Saturday morning on the A38 near Lichfield. The road was closed for more than 10 hours. And at least 31 people have died after an explosion at a nightclub in Peru. The authorities say it happened in the northwest of the country and the cause remains under investigation. LBC weather, cloudy and damp across England and Wales with outbreaks of patchy rain overnight. Clearer skies for much of Northern Ireland and Scotland, while rain will eventually return to Ulster later, we'll see a low of around 3 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC, from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Paul says, what level of chess is it when you neglect to fill up your strategic oil reserves before starting a war that shuts down oil production worldwide, so you have to buy oil at an inflated price from your enemy, who then uses those funds to back the enemy that you just needlessly attacked? Yeah, I think that's pretty much what happened. Amazing. America is thinking of unbanning Russian oil now, just so that the, you know, a little trickle can still keep coming through. Yeah. But, you know, other than that, they thought this out really well.
There's no strategy. I have no strategy. There's zero strategy.
Zero strategy. They're just spitballing. Sharon says, are all those people looking for flights back to the UK fleeing a war? Does that make them refugees? If so, let them find their own way back home via a safe route. Or maybe they can stay in the first safe country they come to. Bet they won't. I bet they won't. Epsom. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I am super. Thanks for asking.
Thank you. That's lovely to talk to you again. Goodness, there's been so much to talk about this evening, hasn't there?
Yeah.
You know, you were saying about Donald Trump when he sits at his desk, he looks like he's slumping. He does remind me of a spitting image puppet.
Which one?
Because if he was a spitting image puppet,
right.
You know what, his own self, that's what he reminds me of anyway. I was wondering what's going on with the Board of Peace, because I thought that they might want their money back.
Yeah, the Board of Peace. They got Board of Peace, so now they're doing war.
Yes, yes. What's all that about? I mean,
I don't know. I can only imagine it's about money, because the deal was give me $1 billion, and you can be the you can be the founding members of my Board of Peace. For what purpose? I mean, all of those countries, you wouldn't be able to pinpoint them on a map. They're not countries that you would ever even consider going on holiday to. And Donald Trump would have called them I'll edit it for broadcast. He would have called them the bleep hole countries.
Disgusting.
That's what he would have said about them.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, they should be rallying, surely, to try and
get their money back.
Try and do something. Yeah. I'd want my money back, wouldn't
exactly.
you?
Exactly. They should band together and declare a war on Donald Trump.
Oh, yes, maybe. Actually, you know, you were talking about we need to stand up to him.
Yes.
I'd stand up to him, but I know that Jan from York, I think she would really stand up to him. I nominate Jan from York to stand up to him. I think she'd be great.
Right. Well, sorry about this, Jan, but you've been nominated and the decision is final. You leave on a plane tomorrow.
Well, she gave you a bit of a ticking off about your trousers.
Oh, right.
So I think dealing with Trump would be no problem.
Well, she could.
And just one more thing.
Pick apart that outfit, no doubt. I mean, get that tie sorted for a start. What are you trying to tell us, Donnie?
Yeah, I know. It's, I don't think MAGA means make America great again either. I think it's make Americans gullible again.
Or make America go away would be good.
Yeah, that's a good one. Really good. That's it, Nick.
All right, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Lindsay. 0345-6060-973. Right, let me tell you about this. It's about space, man. Ron Garron, a spaceman who launched on April the 4th, 2011, returned home on September the 16th, 2011, completed nearly 3,000 orbits around Earth, and discovered that humanity has, in his words, been living a lie. Garron said that while looking out the window of the International Space Station, he was struck by how differently the world appears from orbit. From space, the planet's fragile life support systems, its atmosphere, oceans, ecosystems are clearly visible. Yet human society treats them as if they exist only to serve the global economy. Or really, more accurately and precisely, only to serve the profitability of shareholders. He said, I didn't see the economy, but since our human-made systems treat everything, including the very life support systems of our planet, as the wholly owned subsidiary of the global economy, it is obvious from the vantage point of space that we're living a lie. He said the view made him realize that many of the systems humanity relies on are built around a flawed idea, that the Earth's natural resources are merely a subsidiary of economic growth. From that vantage point, he said, it becomes obvious that the way humanity organizes its priorities is fundamentally misguided. Correct amundo. He said, we need to move from thinking economy, society, planet, to planet, society, economy. That's when we're going to continue our evolutionary process. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's common among astronauts, apparently, this. They call it the overview effect. First coined by space philosopher Frank White in 1987. It describes a profound shift in awareness experienced by many astronauts while viewing the Earth from space. And they often report an overwhelming sense of awe, a deeper appreciation for the planet's beauty and fragility, and a powerful feeling of connection to humanity and the Earth as a whole. Ron Garron did 3,000 orbits around the Earth. He said that if the overview effect is the moment, is the moment of awareness. Not if. He said it is the moment of awareness. The overview effect. And like I said before, coincidentally, The Overview, my favourite album of last year by Stephen Wilson. And just this evening, I found out he's playing 2 gigs in October and they're sold out already.
Damn it!
But that's small stuff compared to, you know, everything. So this spaceman, Ron Garron, who launched on April the 4th, 2011, returned home September the 16th, 2011, completed 3,000 orbits around Earth. He said, one of the things that I realized during my time in space is that we're not from Earth. We are of Earth. And to take that one step further is that we're not in the universe. We are the universe. We are the universe becoming conscious of itself. We are stardust. We are golden. We are billion-year-old carbon. And we've got to get ourselves back to the garden.
Groovy.
Joni Mitchell. Despite the challenges facing the world, Garron said he remains optimistic, believing a growing awareness of humanity's interconnectedness is spreading across the planet. Yeah, I think it's the, that underscores the Groovy Greenies success.
Yowza.
He predicted that once awareness reaches a critical point, it could help humanity solve many of its global problems and inspire people to keep working toward a better future. Well, I think if we could all do a couple of orbits around the Earth, we might come to realise that, you know, perhaps the life that we're leading is not one that is creating harmony. It is a life out of balance. And everything shouldn't be allowed just as long as it benefits the shareholders. Because who the hell are the shareholders? I went off on one about this last week, I think. It was probably because I went on a train and I saw these hideous developments that have been built beside railway tracks. And I thought, why are they so blooming ugly? And the reason is because architects aren't designing them, because that would cost a bit. And that would affect profitability. So accountants are designing these houses in order to make them as cheaply as possible. That's why the windows are so small, because glass is more expensive than brick. And why are they doing that? Because we must maximise the profits to the shareholders. And when people say that, they think, oh, well, that's an argument that we can't dispute. Of course we must maximise the profits to the shareholders. It's the law. And who made that law? The shareholders. And who are the shareholders? The planet's richest people. Please do not call up and tell me that pension funds are big in shares, because they just aren't. Which also makes that nonsense that I think Reform came up with, or that they're going to insist on pension funds in this country plunging into shares. That's the last thing they want to do. Too volatile. Government bonds, things you can rely on. That's what makes money over the long term. That and compound interest. Compound interest. Very, very boring over the short term. Absolutely massive returns over the long term. That Buffett fella, not Wilfred, what's his name? Warren. Warren Buffett. He'll tell you, get Warren Buffett on the phone right now, I mean it. We can't afford him? Or forget it then. Let's have Heston. Isaac.
Hello, Nick.
Isaac.
two things.
A couple of three things.
Let's get down to business. Today is March the 8th, International Women's Day. So hopefully everybody all over the world will remember the 170 schoolgirls who got killed on the first day of the war. I think that's very important.
Right. Well, you're not trying to bring us down or anything, but go ahead.
No. I just think it just upsets me that, what did these schoolgirls do exactly to deserve, an early death? So, obviously, illegal war. Anyway.
Is you not trying to bring us down, is it?
No, I'm not trying. No, I just want people to remember on International Women's Day. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Stop repeating it. What's next?
Yeah. Next, okay. I think Iran is playing the World Cup later this year.
Oh, yeah.
So I just wondered if they're going to be let in to play, to take part.
my guess is no.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyway, that's it.
Okay, well, it sounds like you completed that task. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Isaac. Liam says, I think our dullest, densest and dread-awful British influencers should stay in Dubai and make the UAE boringly and lip-fillingly prosperous. Yes. I think all of those dreadful people, this country is better off without them. Every single person that went to go and live in Dubai in order to save a bit of tax and then patriotically whined about this country from over there. I think none of them should be allowed back. Not one single one of them. We're better off without them. We're not missing you. Sam in Surrey says, straight off Hormuz, shut, yet Trump's Minister of War said America was in control of the waters. Well, clearly they're not. No, the insurance companies are in control of those waters. That's actually true. If you can't get insurance to get your boat full of highly expensive oil through that strait, then you ain't going. If they can't be insured, then those boats aren't sailing. And so it's the insurance company. In much the same manner as as climate change. It doesn't matter whether you believe in climate change or not. Insurance companies believe in it. So it's going to get you anyway. Dean Norfolk says, Trump has definitely had a hair rinse. On the news this evening, it was more orange than pink. His face is more normal now, but he's got tangerine hair. Maybe his makeup artist missed. What a sight, says Dee. Where are those men in white coats when we need them? Paul says, hi, it's just to say I think your presenter on the show from 10 to 12 this evening... I think he's called Nick, says some terrible and wicked things about Trump and religion, and it's not something to take lightly. I know he's a non-believing, but to the people who do believe 100%, it is very hurtful and upsetting to me. Will he think twice about what he says in the future? No, I most certainly will do. Nothing of the sort.
You know, nobody has done more for Christianity. Nobody has done more for religion of all type than me.
This is LBC.
This is the 810 to Birmingham New Street. Calling at organized to-do list. Call your PA. Shoot off a few emails. Close laptop. Head to the shop. Man behind the counter seems like a good egg. Thinking of eggs, one breakfast butty, please.
Business travel by train is time well spent with Avanti West Coast.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity, we actually reward you for it. That's why when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF, change is in our power.
Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week. For full details, eligibility and T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
PLC.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Oh dear.
Gary says, imagine getting kissed by one of those influencers. It'd be like being attacked by a bicycle's inner tube. Stacey says, fuel gone up 20 cents a litre here in Portugal. The government are swallowing 3 cents of that tax. Bless them, says Stacey. 20 cents a litre has gone up by, blimey. I mean, I've noticed that at the beginning of last week it was like 133, 134 in the places that I go to. And now it's a couple of pence more, but it's not up 20 cents. Wow. Samantha says, if all those expat influencers just filled their puffy lips with helium instead of plastic, they could just float up and fly out of Dubai for free. That's a good idea, Samantha. With them, Alex.
Hi, Nick.
Alex.
So you've been talking this evening about these Brits who go off to become economic migrants in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
And I think we should allow them to come home. But what I think we should do is stick someone from HMRC on the plane with them
yes.
to go over their taxes. And they're not allowed off the plane until they've agreed to pay up. Otherwise, they'll get an all-inclusive prison cell.
Or they're just... The plane will do a U-ey and take them back to where they came from.
Yeah, or that. It's quite interesting, though, seeing these people saying they... are free. They care a lot about free speech, but at the same time, they're living in a country which will imprison you if you speak out against them. So yeah. they're forced to say, oh, the government's been really brilliant in handling this crisis.
I know. What a bunch of phonies.
They're just a bunch of Muppets. But I want you to mention something else as well, and that was about the strange relationship between Trump, or should I say Beelzeblob, and Netanyahu.
Yes.
Because before last year, you had the 12-day war, and you had Trump effing and jeffing about Netanyahu, and their relationship was said to be quite frosty, quite poor. And now, all of a sudden, they're bosom buddies, they're the best of friends.
Right.
It seems odd, because the only two world leaders who appear to have any sort of inroad with Trump... is Putin and now Netanyahu.
Yeah. Well, there's...
And I wonder why.
Donald Trump really loves dictators. So, you know, he prostrates himself in front of strongman dictators. So he likes them wherever they happen to be in the world. He loves Kim Jong-un, for crying out loud. So, what the nature of the relationship is between him and Netanyahu, I've got no idea. But apparently the US is only in this war because of Israel. That's what Marco Rubio said, the Secretary of State.
Yeah, he let the cat out the bag.
Yeah, he did. All
right. It's absolutely stunning.
It is, yeah, I know. What a way to run a planet, eh? All right, dreadful. Thanks, Alex. Yeah, this was the story. The US launched preemptive strikes against Iran after learning that Israel was about to attack. And American troops in the region faced an imminent threat of retaliation, so said Secretary of State Marco Rubio. He said there absolutely was an imminent threat, and the imminent threat was that we knew that if Iran was attacked, and we believed they would be attacked, that they would immediately come after us, and we're not going to sit there and absorb a blow before we respond. This is the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, said this on Monday. He said the Department of War determined that a defensive posture following an Israeli attack would only open the US to more casualties. We went proactively in a defensive way, he said.
What?
You know, like if you're in a bar and somebody doesn't steal your pint, but you think they might in the future if they spill their own pint. So you punch them in the face. And we do it very strongly. The revelation outraged both Democrats and Republicans. A congressman called Joaquin Castro said Secretary Rubio's remarks indicate that Israel put U.S. forces in harm's way by insisting on attacking Iran, and the administration was complicit joining their war instead of talking them down. They were apparently talking, the U.S. and Iran, and they were very, very close to a deal. And then Trump stopped talking and started warring. Conservative pundit Matt Walsh said, so he's flat out telling us that we're in a war with Iran because Israel forced our hand. This is basically the worst possible thing he could have said. Yeah. Sounds pretty bad to me. But, you know, it's what people voted for. Apparently. They didn't know they were doing it, but they keep insisting that they did. Those people.
I love the poorly educated.
They keep giving and giving, don't they, Donny? I have a bit of good news. A little bit. Some people are very, very angry about it. You know, the usual suspects who want to suck the joy out of everything. They're very, very annoyed. But for the rest of us, it should give a little bit of H-A-P-P-Y-ness. I'll come to that in a minute. Let's see now. Hackney. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Nick.
Peter.
Love your work. So, a bit of local colour about where you work down on Charing Cross Road. You know, one of your callers earlier on said they were worried about groupies hanging outside the door to kind of nab you when you come out of the building at, in the early hours.
Mm.
Well, there was a... you know the story Jekyll and Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson? That was actually based on a case of a real doctor in the 1800s. And he had a townhouse for his practice on Leicester Square. But he bought the house behind that led on to what is now Charing Cross Road, but then was called Castle Street, which is a pretty dingy road. And so the resurrection men, or the grave diggers, would pitch up on Charing Cross Road, deliver the body to him at the back, and then he could take it and use it. So the thought was, if you find the groupie situation becomes intolerable, if you skulk around the basement of the LBC, maybe you'll find some corridor that can take you out onto Leicester Square.
Yeah.
Should the anyway, that's I found it quite fascinating. It's a bit of local colour, and it may be of use to you.
I'm not going down in that cellar. I've seen films enough to know you don't go down there.
Well, there we go. So, but there you have the option.
Right. No, I'll skip that. I'll take my chances.
Okay. Good night.
Okay, excellent work. That's it. All right, good work. Thanks, Peter. James says, I'd like Labour to change electoral law like us in Australia. Compulsory duty to vote. Why do they do that in Australia and we don't do that here? It absolutely fries my brain that people can't be bothered to vote. And you'll get the usual answers. Oh, nothing ever changes. Yeah, it does. Of course it does. Or they're all the same. How many times have you heard that? God. They're not all the same. I'll do the thing with the parallel lines again. If they were all the same, then regardless of who you vote for, we would end up in the same place in the future. But if they were even slightly different, then those parallel lines would be at an angle. Now, it doesn't have to be a very big angle for there to be a massive difference between the outcomes over a long period of time. So just pick the least bad option. But I know that I'm just like whistling in the wind. It's got absolutely zero effect because come these supposedly very, very important elections that are a few weeks away, I bet half the people don't even bother to leave the house. I bet it's something as dismal as that. I would be surprised if a third of us did. Because it's not, I don't know, people just don't think that it's important or it affects them in any way. Of course it blooming well does. If you don't vote, it's going to affect you anyway. But I know I'm wasting my time. So it should be the law. It should be compulsory or there should be some sort of monetary fine or a penalty of other types. But, you know, maybe that would be a step too far. Georgie says, have you heard Timothy Chalamet announcing that nobody cares about ballet and opera? He has completely messed with the passionate community. The backlash is glorious. The ballet and the opera.
Boring!
Well, I'm kind of with him, really. I've seen ballet very, very few times. And what surprised me most is what a racket they make. You know, you see it on TV and all you hear is the orchestra. And they're leaping about, and it all looks, you know, very very delicate. They land very delicately. No, they don't. They thud about like elephants. It's amazing what kind of a racket they make at the ballet. And then, you know, the racket at the opera you're familiar with. I can't be in the same room as it. I just can't. You know, there's the hits. That one. I mean, that's fun. Other than that, painful. Just hour after endless hour. Just people screaming at you on stage. No thanks. Thanks. No thanks. John says, please remember Donald has been sent by God to help us through the bad times. Be grateful and enjoy life. Happy days, says John. This is, I didn't make this up. This is not artificial intelligence. He actually said this.
You know, nobody has done more for Christianity. Nobody has done more for religion of all type than me.
No one has done more for Christianity or religion of all types than me. And religious types still profess to revere him. I don't get it. I mean, that comical laying on of the hands, really. Those people can't be serious. They can't believe that. They just can't. I mean, I know a lot of the religionists in America, like the big stars, they have these mega churches, and they've got like two private jets constantly gassed up and ready to take them wherever they want to go, and a Rolls Royce to take them to each of their homes and all of this. And that seems like a racket to me, and tax free, of course, because it's religion. But those people that were laying their hands on Donald Trump, I mean, what is Donald Trump thinking? Because he's not a religious person. He was asked what passage of the Bible was his favorite. He said, it's my favorite book, the Bible. I think he said, then joked, oh no, it's my second favorite book after The Art of the Deal, which coincidentally he also didn't write. And they asked him a perfectly reasonable question. Well, which is your favourite passage of the Bible? And he said, oh, I don't want to pick a favourite because they're all good. Something like that. Yeah, okay, I believe you. Sure. Let's talk about dancing next. 0345 6060 973, text 84850, email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone, 03 45 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 12:30, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
President Trump has described the UK as our once great ally while criticising Britain's response to the war in Iran. Writing online, he says the US does not need people that join wars we've already won. Israel says it struck numerous fuel storage complexes in the Iranian capital of Tehran. It says they needed to be destroyed because they were being used to help operate military infrastructure. And a 7-year-old boy has died following a collision on a main road in Staffordshire. It happened at about 5 o'clock on Saturday morning on the A38 near Lichfield. LBC weather, cloudy and damp for England and Wales with outbreaks of patchy rain overnight. It'll be clearer across much of Northern Ireland and Scotland for most of the night. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees.
This is LBC.
The hit Broadway and West End musical comedy Waitress comes to Woking this April. Starring West End leading lady Carrie Hope Fletcher and TV legend Les Dennis. Waitress is the story of a small town girl who's done taking orders and is looking for a fresh new start. With music by Grammy Award winner Sarah Bareilles, Waitress comes to the New Victoria Theatre from the 20th of April for 1 week only. Book your tickets today at atgtickets.com/woking.
Turn ordinary into the extraordinary every day with the Lexus LBX. Whilst most SUVs are big and brash, the LBX is quietly bold and confident. Refined luxury crafted into a compact SUV. The Lexus LBX, what car's best small SUV 2024 and 2025.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Please hold the line. I'm trying to connect you.
Yes, at the moment I am trying to connect Gavin in Orpington. Gavin.
Hello, Nick. I know Donald Trump said that this war would be over in sort of that matter of sort of like a,
yeah,
you know, sort of like a very, very soon. But
This time next Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah, but has anybody, you know, just taking this into account, has anybody watched American football? That lasts for bloody hours, quite frankly.
It goes on forever, American football. It's 5 seconds of action, and then they stand around and talk about it for 5 minutes. It's painful.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Nick. And can you, I can just imagine, I'm just trying to basically cheer things up. Can you imagine two commentators, American football commentators, commentating on the war at the moment? It's like, oh, here's another American missile heading to Iran. Incomplete.
I think that needs a little bit of work, Gavin.
I know it does.
But the best of luck with that. Thanks a lot, mate. 0345-6060-973. Mark says, I think Trump is going for everything he ever wanted to do. He's mid-80s and he wants to go out with a bang. Lurch will need to talk to his father's failings in order to get elected once he's gone. Enter the dynasty. Yeah, I would be very surprised if Trump did not try to hand the crown up to Lurch. Not Uday and Kuse, his idiot sons. Lurch, you know, the one that has... seems to me like he's got a little bit of the dark side about him. Yeah, very, very... I don't know. He's an uncomfortable sight. Lucy says, I have a theory that when you are on hold with customer service waiting for a representative and they play that awful music so loud for a long time, they could easily play nice, relaxing music if they wanted to, but they don't, because my theory is that they know you can't stand it and they want you to hang up, which is what most people do. Very smart of them, says Lucy. Well, I would imagine that they've had somebody in, a psychologist perhaps, to pick the most annoying thing for people to listen to on hold for that precise reason. Yeah, I bet it's not a coincidence. Like that. Although that is quite a relaxing tune. I could listen to that for 3-4 hours. Mick says, you know how Trump is influenced by the last thing he sees? I think he had a yogurt last week and decided that Iran needed a more moderate leader. A Mullah light, if you will. Oh, God. Oh, no, I've been sideswiped.
Oh, no.
A listener with material.
Damn it!
Yogurt-based humour. Can you believe that?
No.
Right, let's talk about dancing. How many of these messages have I got to get through? Let me just see where I am. Oh, way too many. All right. Yeah, people are angry about dancing. A group of MPs this week sparked fury. I think that this story is in the Mail, and they should have started with fury as. Well, I bet the headline was fury as. Fury as MPs dance while there's misery in the world. A group of MPs sparked fury after they were seen dancing in Parliament amid the deepening crisis in the Middle East. Imagine that. They were enjoying themselves while there was misery in the world.
Dreadful.
Strictly Come Dancing stars Angela Rippon and Alex Kingston led more than 40 MPs in a cha-cha-cha across Westminster's Portcullis House in an event to promote the advantages of dance for the nation's health and well-being. Health and well-being?
Boo!
Oh, no, hang on. That's a good thing, isn't it? Some parliamentarians criticised the timing of the event in the wake of the US and Israeli strikes on Iran, which have plunged the Middle East into chaos. And can you guess which party those MPs who have criticised the timing of the event come from? I mean, there'll always be some reason why MPs shouldn't be seen smiling in a public place. It's called life. There's always something. But, you know, if dancing does you good, isn't a time of strife the exact moment to try and get people doing it? Or they could just sit and doom scroll on their phones at home and give themselves a heart attack. So, of course, Fun Sponges Reform had to get in on the negativity. Reform UK MP Lee Anderson said, whilst the world is on the brink of World War III, these dancing MPs have made it quite clear that the lunatics have taken over the asylum. Well, no. Not yet. But if the polls are anything to go by, they might.
Don't vote for Reform. It's dangerous. They're a mad, bad, far-right, racist party.
If you say so, Nige. You know best. I mean, at least we've got a 5% pay rise to look forward to, said Lee Anderthal, in a reference to the salary hike that MPs are going to get in April. And I don't know if that was him being sarcastic, but if it was, I wonder whether he will accept that pay rise in full. I wonder. And after Mr... I mean, I'm just asking questions, by the way. And after Mr. Anderthal branded the MPs morons, Labour's Jonathan Brash said, under reform, we are to be miserable at all times, call each other names as often as possible, and reject joy as a point of principle. Yeah, that sounds about right. It's what reform cultists want. It's what drew them into the cult in the first place. I'm pretty sure rejecting joy and being miserable is what attracts people to the Reform Party. I mean, their whole message, their whole image doesn't seem to inspire happiness, does it? And who is tripping the light fantastic? Well, new Green Party MP Hannah Spencer, Shadow Culture Secretary Nigel Huddleston, Conservative MP Caroline Noakes, Labour's Kim Ledbetter. They were among the parliamentarians practising their footwork alongside some people from that Strictly show off the telly. And before the dance class, Angela Rippon said dance was such a valuable tool in getting the nation healthy and saving the NHS money. She said dance could help cure medical conditions and tackle the obesity and the mental health crises. And that sounds a bit silly, but it's absolutely true. We dance because it feels good. It's innate. People queue to get into venues where dancing is the main attraction. I mean, they could go to a bar or download an app to score, but they want the joy of flinging themselves about a bit. You know, bring a bit of H-A-P-P-Y-ness into their lives. Or we could be a miserable, sour sulk of a country to appear superior, while criticising others for trying to salvage some vestige of happiness. You choose.
We've got a few idiots in our party.
Neil says, hey, Nick, have you got Felonious Flunk on your list of Trump nicknames? I've got Felonious something or other. I can't remember what it is, but it's not Flunk. Tom says, can we salute Keir Starmer for giving it some backbone and giving Donald Trump the golden fingers? Yeah, I think a bit of praise is in order. Because if you look at the polling, we're not keen on this war. We just don't want to be in this. What's it got to do with us? Leave us alone. We just want to get on with things. I mean, life's hard enough as it is, isn't it? And yes, I bet the press tomorrow are absolutely furious. I bet they put that Trump... it might have come in a bit late for them. And they'll be furious, the journalists. Like, oh, there was our front page. We could have put a Truth Social tweet, or whatever he calls it, on our front page of Donald Trump having a go at Keir Starmer. And that would have suited them all right down to the ground. But they probably can't now because the front page has gone to the press already. If that is still a thing, I mean, it certainly used to be that way in the old films of, you know, of the press at work. Hold the front page, they said. I don't know if that applies anymore. I guess it probably does. But if they can squeeze it in, they will. Betcha, betcha, betcha. But we should be grateful for that because this country doesn't want to go to war. I mean, the right-wing offshore billionaire press barons, they'd love for us to go on to go to war because it's great for the circulation. I don't mean the I don't mean your body. I mean the amount of papers that they'll sell. Nothing like a little light war to sell some papers. And they seem to be completely on Donald Trump's side and not our side. Because, like I said, on this particular issue, we are almost speaking with one voice. We don't want to be a part of this. And we definitely don't want to be a part of anything that Donald Trump is a part of. But they are in the process of trying to persuade us that we are. And that's the beauty of propaganda. It's the beauty of advertising. You tell people you want something, and even if they don't want it, eventually they'll think, well, yeah, maybe I do want it. Gary says, what's that Laura going on about, that caller I had some while ago, saying that 30-year-olds back in the 1980s don't look like 30-year-olds today, which is nonsense, and suggesting it was down to smoking. Hey, Laura, back in the 1980s, people weren't eating Tide Pods and choking to death doing the cinnamon challenge. Well, that is true, yeah. But I also think that people are... I mean, hair styles sort of come and go. The 1980s hairstyles, people used to think they looked great in the 1980s. Come to find out, we looked utterly ridiculous. But we thought we were it at the time. Same as now, except you can't really see. I wonder if you could, like in the 1970s, hairstyles in the 1970s. Absolutely shocking. See a picture of myself when I were a lad, and, just look at it. How could I go out in public looking like that? I don't think that really applies now. I mean, some of the kids have that sort of tumbling over their eyes English sheepdog look, which does look a little silly, but not as bad as the haircuts that people used to have, that sort of blow-dried hair helmets that people used to have. It looked like, everybody had just stepped off a moped. And I think that will age you, but I also think that you just, I don't know, the way that we take care of ourselves is better today, kind of, a little bit. But then again, we eat worse. So I don't know what the answer is to that, Gary. Matty in Burwell says, all the right-wingers seem to be in favour of joining in with this war. This will contribute to even more refugees, which will mean even more people coming over on the small boats. They're the same small boats that they're always complaining about. Just proves how stupid the Tories and Reform are, says Matty. Well, the one will lead to the other. Absolutely no doubt about that. Turmoil in Iran could lead to refugees flooding Europe at an unprecedented magnitude, the European Union's asylum agency said. The EU described Iran as a potential flashpoint in a report written before the United States and Israel launched airstrikes against that country. Now, the potential was bad then. Now, worse. Outlining the possible effect on the number of asylum seekers arriving at European borders, the EU Agency for Asylum said the scale of potential risk is significant, which does make it odd that the people who have made their political careers out of complaining about immigrants are also the same people who are saying that we should get stuck in and do war on Iran, which is going to create more immigrants. The EU report made clear that destabilization of Iran could trigger migration flows to rival others seen in recent decades. Probably worse. The last time Europe faced such a major exodus was during the 2015 Syrian refugee crisis. 1 million asylum seekers arrived in Europe fleeing civil war in that country. And if you were in that country, you'd flee too. It had a knock-on effect on Britain's asylum numbers. Higher numbers of migrants crossed the continent and lodged humanitarian claims here. The EU report said displacement of just 10% of Iran's population would rival the largest refugee flows of recent decades. There's 90 million people living in Iran. Even a partial destabilization could generate refugee movements of an unprecedented magnitude. That'll be your tidal wave right there. It's just odd that people who but have made their political career out of complaining about migrants are all behind actions that are going to create migrants. I guess it is in their interest, because in a couple of years, it might even be sooner than that, there's going to be fewer people coming in. I mean, absent of this Iranian thing. The migrant crisis, as it's been called, is pretty much solved. There's fewer people coming in now than there ever have been, and there's more people leaving. So it's going to be negative outflow, if that makes sense. There's going to be more people leaving than there are coming in. But that's not going to make any difference to the reformists and people who obsess about this issue, because it's not the numbers of people who come, it's the fear of the numbers of people coming, which is why Farage won in Clacton. There are no non-white people in Clacton. There's a guy behind the counter in the Indian takeaway in the high street. I mean, I assume there is one. both an Indian takeaway and a high street. But apart from that, zero. And yet they voted for him anyway. I mean, that's his signature policy, right? Name me another one. Bet you can't. The EU organisation that's talking about this, European Union's Asylum Agency, said a 30% reduction in global humanitarian funding last year, such as the cuts by Donald Trump's White House, could make matters worse. Yeah, everything that they the right-wingers revere and worship, pretty much, about Donald Trump, is the thing that's going to cause the thing that they profess to be most concerned about. It said that in the event of new crises, like this one happening right now, the funding cuts from the White House could accelerate onward movement of refugees into other regions of the globe. Like here, for instance. And Iran, by the way, currently hosts the second largest number of refugees of any country in the world. There's 2.5 million people who are refugees in Iran. And so add that to the 90 million. And Houston, we may have a problem. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Tom Slater.
Thousands of protesters took to the streets of London yesterday, many of them waving the flag of the Islamic Republic. Should these protests be allowed while Iran is menacing Britain and its allies? Plus, should Labour be worried about the Greens?
Tom Slater at 4. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
You've probably been with the same energy supplier for decades. And why wouldn't you be? Loyalty matters. But lately, bigger hasn't always felt better. You've probably dealt with long waits and endless automated menus in search of someone who can actually help. Octopus Energy is now Britain's biggest energy supplier, trusted by over 8 million customers, because we do things differently. Our people focus on the most important thing, you. When you call, you'll speak to a real person. No robotic scripts, no computer says no. Just an honest conversation with someone who actually wants to help. Join the millions who've already made the move. Octopus Energy, recommended by Which, a record 9 years running. Visit octopus.energy/better for verification.
Imagine a breakfast wrap. You know the one, because there really is only one. Sausage, egg, cheese, bacon, and a potato rosti all wrapped together. Yep, there it is. I think my work here is done. Served until 11 a.m.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, and my GP referred me to the CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours, I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Come on, we're running late!
We are running late. This text says, Nick, you'll have an ASBO wearing that tracksuit. Once you've worn a tracksuit for a long period of time, you just don't want to wear anything else. That's just a fact. And it might make me look slovenly, but who cares? Who cares about that? Not me. Comfort comes first. This says, it's an anonymous text. It says, Nick, making it a trend to say no for the sake of no in the face of something morally obligated, i.e. most of Trump's policies, is one of the stupid things you've said, and that's hard to beat. He has a plan like he's doing with Venezuela. Well, Anonymous, you're an idiot. Plus, you've spelt practically every word in that missive wrongly. Venezuela. Venuzwaila. No. Jimmy says, hi, Nick. One thing we can be thankful for is that if reform do get in, by that time, Donald Trump will no longer be president. Can you imagine both of them in power at the same time? It doesn't bear thinking about. Well, I wouldn't count it out. I don't think Donald Trump is leaving. He certainly isn't going to be leaving at the end of this at the end of this term. I mean, what's he got, another, what, like 2 and a bit years to go? He ain't leaving. He's building a hideous ballroom to the glory that is him. He's having his own Arc de Trump built. Twice as big as the one in Paris, apparently. He's not going anywhere. I tell you, there is... It's in my Trump bingo card. But before the end of the year, he's going to declare a state of emergency. Now, if he can't just whip one up out of nothing... And he has done that already, by the way. He has declared a state of emergency, which is what was behind that tariffs insanity. But if he can't do that anymore... then there's going to be some sort of false flag attack on America. It will look like an attack that's come from outside, but it will really be organised by the regime. I mean, if rootin' tootin' shootin' Putin can do it, then Donald Trump can do it too, right? You ain't going to have no elections. Gordon says, I Atollah once, I Atollah twice. I don't really get that. Unless you're saying, I told you. Once, in which case that's really stretching. Zara says, my dog is snoring. Can I say hello to him? Wake him up. His name is Charlie. Hey, Charlie. Squirrel, Charlie. Matt in Nottingham says, Starmer is not boring but measured. Intelligent, considered, everything Trump is not. Well, he is absolutely everything Trump is not. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you had to pick one, And you didn't pick Keir Starmer, then I think the jury is in. You're out of your mind. Chris says, Nick, the deep fried the deep fried Fuhrer is one molecule away from a pot of silly putty. Well, that is factually accurate.
Don't talk to me that way. Don't talk to... I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
The deep-fried, fried... That is quite hard to say. I'll just give up on it. Dave says, the neck rash and the bruises are just side effects of being injected with turtle blood. How many more of these have I got? Oh, so many. I'll never get through them. Conrad says, there is a president called Trump who has an orange toupee bump. We are accused of not entering when spinning, but in WW2 they entered when we were winning. Stick eating dodgy chicken and feed that lump. And the message from next door is, I smell ChatGPT. Well, artificial intelligence is stupid. Is that the best it can come up with? That's terrible. Poets, your money source is safe. Yeah, because that's where the money is, poetry. Yeah, the MAGA people are absolutely furious with Donald Trump. So I think that he's going to have to create some sort of emergency in order to try to get everybody back on side. Or just to hell with it, he's going to take over the country whether you like it or not. I mean, Tucker Carlson, that guy who he used to do Fox News. Donald Trump is kicking Tucker Carlson out of MAGA after he said that the former Fox News host had lost his way in calling the president's Iran strikes evil. Trump kicking Tucker Carlson out of MAGA. Does he think it's an actual club, like a golf club? And that he can rescind someone's membership if they stray from the script. He's kicking him out of MAGA. And he's got to clear out his locker and settle up his bar bill.
Booze.
Tucker Carlson, the conservative commentator, thinks that America get involved in forever wars in the Middle East is not a good idea. And to be fair, Donald Trump didn't think it was a good idea until he won that prestigious FIFA Peace Prize and decided to make himself the leader for life of the Board of Peace. And at that moment, he thought, oh, let's do war. It's a sort of who's who of the world's biggest human rights abusers, the Board of Peace. You know, Trump's kind of people. From countries that you couldn't place on a map. Armenia, Bahrain, Jordan, Kazakhstan, Paraguay, Uzbekistan. You know, the full board of all of those places that Trump used to call the bleephole countries. Until they gave him $1 billion as a joining fee. This Tucker Carlson guy, if you go back to watch clips of him long enough, you'll see that he used to wear a bow tie on TV. He looked precious. This is before he became the right-winger that is apparently not right-wing enough for the recipient of the prestigious FIFA Peace Prize. Tucker Carlson says the president's decision is absolutely disgusting and evil. And Trump responded by saying that Tucker has lost his way. Gained his mind, more like. He lost it, and now it is found. Oh. Welcome to the human race. Okay, that's it. If you missed any of this super show, or the one on Friday, then you should be aware that it gets put up the internet almost the moment it is finished on the Global Player app or the new LBC app. It's exclusive to those, both of which are free from your app store. And the thing to ask for is Nick Abbott, The Whole Show Podcast. I think you'll love it. Back tonight with my abnormal normal show coming up at 4 on LBC. It's James Hansen. But first, Tom Slater.
Thanks, Nick. Coming up...
No war on Iran!
No, I do support the Iranian government. Big time, yeah.
Thousands of protesters hit the streets of London yesterday to call for the end of the US-Israel war with Iran. Many were carrying Islamic Republic flags and even portraits of its former supreme leader. Should people be allowed to hold pro-Iran protests while Iran is threatening Britain and its allies? Plus...
We're a party with the momentum right now. We're surging. The Labour Party is dead and gone. People need to let go of it.
Labour bigwigs are terrified about a political earthquake in London in May after a surge in support for the Greens. Do you support the Greens? And if so, why? Finally, we'll discuss the rights and wrongs of working from home and Trump's latest attack on Keir Starmer.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock. President Trump has described the UK as our once great ally while criticising Britain's response to the war in Tehran. Writing online, he says the US doesn't need people that join wars we've already won. Donald Trump was responding to reports the UK was considering sending two aircraft carriers to the Gulf region. He's been talking to reporters on Air Force One this evening.
When this ends, we're going to have a much safer world, you know that. So, you know, this is a minor excursion. But when this ends, we're going to have a much safer world, and we will have gotten rid of a lot of sick and demented people. So we got rid of the one leadership, then we got rid of the second level of leadership. Now they're on their third or fourth level of leadership. And they have leaders right now that nobody even knows who they are.
Security sources in Beirut say at least two people have died after an attack on a hotel building. The strike is the first of its kind to hit the center of the city. There's been no immediate comment from Israel. Thousands of people have marched to the US Embassy in central London to call for an end to Israel and Washington strikes. The Metropolitan Police says four arrests were made, including one for the possession of an offensive weapon. Some of the people at the Hands Off Iran event spoke to LBC.
Come down to stop the war against the unlikely poor people. We come here in humanity as well. Children and innocent people are getting killed.
I'm just coming because of the Iranian innocent people, which is they've been killed by the America bombs and Israel bombs. I got no like, no side. My sister are there. I lost two people in there. My families, they've been killed.
A counter demonstration against the regime of the Islamic Republic was also held near Downing Street on Saturday afternoon. There'll be more on this with Tom Slater here on LBC this morning. The UK will mark its annual COVID Day of Reflection later, 6 years after the beginning of the pandemic. The latest data suggests at least 248,000 people died, with the virus being listed as a cause of death. And in sport, Chelsea have survived a scare and beaten Wrexham 4-2 in extra time to progress to the quarter-finals of the FA Cup. Earlier on, Arsenal avoided an upset in the competition by beating Mansfield Town 2-1. LBC weather, cloudy and damp across England and Wales, with outbreaks of patchy rain overnight. Clear